Welcome to the LiggyCast. This is the Giant Bomb Community's Guild Wars 2 podcast for the week of June 22nd. I'm your host, Sulkerfest Cynic, and joining me today is Noobarama.
Yeah, I am joining Self-Confessed Cynic today.
I like the pause on that. Rawson.
And I am joining Self-Confessed Cynic and Noobarama.
Tarkin.
Hello.
And for the- You broke it!
Combo breaker!
And then for the first time, another Australian on the show, so joining me and Tarkin as the Australian Lincoln Cast vets, Enchanted Echo, hello.
Hello. Just joining the resistance. Australian resistance.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lincoln Force resistance? What are we resisting? What do you think, in your opinion, what does Lincoln Force resist?
I don't know, Australian lag.
Good podcasting. Legitimacy. Quality.
It's clearly, like
Australians
one.
Against the world.
No, it's Commonwealth, because we've got, what, four Commonwealthers on the show this week, and one American, so Americans...
I don't know what that means at all. What's this Commonwealth bullshit you're talking about?
Spoken like a true... Anyway, what have you been doing this week, Rawson?
What country are you from? Not Commonwealth. What have I been doing this week? I've been playing games and going to work, and today I got to try out The Secret World, that new MMO by Funcom.
Oh, so, if the audience doesn't know where Durin is this week, he's actually doing a live stream while we're recording of that game. So I think, what, Rawson, do you have something to say about it?
It's not offensively bad, but it's just...
It sounded offensively bad when I heard you playing
it's
it.
It's so fucking boring. Nothing happens, and every single quest has to have a cinematic cutscene, as if they're trying really really hard to make me give a shit, but they're just forcing it down my throat, so it creates the opposite reaction, where I just don't care about anything involved in the game.
Alright, so, a lot of games have had a lot of cutscenes, but they usually are fine because you generally... I find they're engaging because generally good writing and good voice acting. Like, is that not the case here, or...?
The voice act... I haven't seen any good instances of voice acting, and it's just... They can't make me give a shit.
Oh, man.
So it's just kind of annoying. I would rather be able to just walk up and just accept a quest and just, that's it. I just had the quest.
Have you learned any secrets?
I don't have to try and skip secrets. This cutscene.
That's a good question. Have you learned any secrets? You found out what the first hymn a dude was going to sing on the weekend.
Yeah, it was 576.
That was,
you know,
obvious.
that him. That's totally obvious, guys.
Wait, okay, run me through your Secret World experience. What did you do today?
I made a character. She ate a lightning bug and got superpowers from it. And then she
got like an allergic reaction,
I guess. And then she went. Like, she went down into the sewers in New York, and then she found out that the Illuminati were there, but they didn't, like, kill her. They instead, now she's, like, a member of the Illuminati. So they sent her...
Why did she go into the sewers?
I forget.
I think she might have been trying to... Is she a child prostitute?
No, she was a lady.
Is Jay-Z in this?
Oh. So just a prostitute.
Actually,
my character is most assuredly not a prostitute. She is actually conservatively dressed compared to most other characters. Which is to say, she's wearing some clothing.
Wait, I noticed the human. Like, is this an MMO? Did you play with humans, or did you just pretty much?
There are humans there, but I didn't do anything with them because fuck that.
Guild Wars 2? Haven't you learned anything? Playing with people is fun.
Well, yeah, because there I don't have to like go, hello, would you like to join a group with me? You would. Well, what is your character type? Are you a tank, a DPS, or a healer? Oh, that God. Is good, for we need a tank. And now I shall invite you into our group, and then we shall share our quest, so then we can all do the quest, so then we can do the next quest, so then we can do the quest after that, and then eventually we'll be able to raid against the raid bosses and get the best items in the game until they patch it.
To be fair, you can't really confirm whether any of the things you said above, aside from quests, are actually in this game, right? Because you only played like 20 minutes, right?
I played like three hours.
3 hours? Holy shit. Did you have fun?
No. Am I going to go back to it?
You played 3 hours and you did not have fun.
No, I didn't have fun.
God damn, he's such a masochist. Oh my God.
I hate myself a lot.
What is your reasoning? Why would you go back to the game? Because you can for the weekend?
He gets sexual pleasure from bringing himself pain. It's that simple.
Because I want to then be able to say that this game is a piece of shit and have, like, evidence to back it up. Because every single time you ever say an MMO is a piece of crap, you always get players who are like, no, that's not true, or, oh, you didn't play it enough. 3 hours isn't nearly enough to have fun in this video game.
Right. Yeah, okay, I gotcha.
Oh, fuck off. I had the same problem with the Old Republic. Where people actually accused me, even on the Giant Bomb forums, they accused me of not even actually playing the beta, even though I had fucking streamed it, and I had backups of the streams to prove it.
Wow, okay.
Wait, even apparently,
GB's usually a really laid-back community, but...
What?
That's crazy.
Oh, God, yeah. It's something about MMOs.
I disagree, but okay.
Well, to be fair, you only really troll the off-topic and shitty parts of the forums.
I don't troll.
I was going to say a bad word there. I was going to say a bad word. I didn't. I started, but I didn't.
You're going to scare away all of the listeners.
Are you going to
scare
away? Oh, God. The mumble server of politics is getting weird.
Okay.
Anyway, game's fucking boring. Don't buy it.
That's the Rawson review. I'll see what Durin thinks next week, because he's live streaming it now. And hopefully you can get some... But this is a Guild Wars 2 podcast, so I'll move on.
Really? Really? I tend to forget that by the first 30 minutes into the show.
I try to get about 20 minutes of random discussion before Guild Wars 2. It's a bit... I think it's a bit hard.
Well, you say that before Guild Wars 2, but then after that 20 minutes, it's still random discussion.
Oh, I've been playing some DCS A10C. That's actually a good game, and I recommend it.
So, Nubarama, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I have been playing Men of War and Arma 2 Operation Arrowhead.
Did you play Elizabeth or whatever it was as well?
What's Elizabeth?
Victoria. He's talking about
Victoria. Victoria,
oh,
that's
God,
the one.
Elizabeth.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, dude. That's
some game I don't give a shit about.
So basically my exams are over and my summer vacation has started. And I've actually... I don't remember what's happened in the last week anymore. It's just a blur.
Did you get out of the house?
Yeah. I might have. I don't remember. I think God I opened the door to let my dog into the backyard, and then I closed the door.
The five minutes before the show, you opened the door for your dog. Who was outside? No, you didn't even go outside to your dog. You opened the door for your dog to come in.
For the rest of the week, you did absolutely nothing. I had to, what is it called? Go outside really quick to get KFC and then come back.
Oh, you have a KFC near where you live?
I have a McDonald's just around the corner as well.
I gotta drive like half an hour. I drove there.
Holy shit. I've got a Mickey D's. 2 minutes drive.
Don't say Mickey D's.
I know, right? KFC around 5 minutes drive, and a equivalent of a Burger King about.
That was an equivalent of a Burger King.
We call it Hungry Jack's. I think.
Hungry Jack's.
Damn straight. It's like Australian Burger King, like, because they were previously owned by Burger King, but then they split off. They branched off into their own thing, and they do better burgers. Anyway, so that's what you've been doing this week, Nuv.
Well, I mean, what else? Let me try to remember.
I have nothing spectacular. I'm sure that no one gives a shit.
I read a book, or I'm starting to read a book.
Ooh, what book?
Called The Flashman. It's quite good.
Really?
Yeah. It was recommended to me by a Giant Bomb person.
Nice. I'm thinking of rereading.
Sexist and racist, but hey.
Well, what kind of... what time stamp are we at? Okay, we can do it. But what kind of books are you into, Noob?
I mostly read nonfiction. I'm not a big fiction person, but sometimes I like to stray into fiction territory and read fiction books. But this is historical fiction, so I don't know.
I guess. Well, what's the book about? Just do the plug for the book.
Okay, so basically, Flashman is a character who is like an anti-hero, basically. And he finds himself in all of these crazy situations because he's like a complete dick. He sleeps around with like other people's wives and stuff like that. And he joins the military. And he just gets himself into these crazy situations. And it's basically that kind of book.
Wait, so it's historical fiction in what way?
It's real events and real characters. But there it's a mix of fictional characters and real characters.
Okay. So it's a backdrop of real world events, but
right.
it's a
historical novel, and it's pretty comedic. It's quite funny. I like it. Set in 1840, actually.
Right. I prefer fantasy. I'm a huge fantasy buff.
You nerd.
I'm the biggest nerd when it comes to books. I'm currently thinking of rereading Monster Hunter International. If anyone's heard of that series of books,
if I could recommend a book, I would recommend The Cold War, by Jeremy Isaacs and Taylor Downing. That's a good introduction to the subject.
Oh, fuck you.
I'm going to pants you, you fucking nerds.
Tarkin, what kind of books do you like?
Is
he here? Oh, yeah, yeah.
What kind of books do I like?
If you, that was genre? A transition into what you've been doing this week, but if you can't answer the question, just tell me what you've been doing.
On Tuesday, I finished my exam, so since then I've been playing quite a bit more Skyrim. Played a bit of DayZ.
Do you like DayZ?
What?
Do you like DayZ?
It is stressful.
I mean DayZ.
Yeah, sure. Well, DayZ is how it's made by Americans, isn't it?
It's made by the Czech.
New Zealander.
Oh, so it's DayZ.
No, Czech. I thought it was Czech.
What?
Like Czech Republic.
If we're not informed about this topic, we should just leave
he pronounces it as DayZ, so...
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah, he's pronouncing it wrong. It's DayZ. So DayZ is stressful, is it?
I hate you people so much.
It's all survival.
Nice. Well, it's like survival against people and zombies, right? Like, have you done multiplayer, or did you just stick to...
It is multiplayer. You have to.
Okay, yeah, so there's no, like, aren't there any friendly servers where you can't, there's no, like, player killing?
No, it's all player killing.
It's like one unified server structure because it's persistence among all servers, so they can't, like...
I hate people as, like, enough as it is without giving me more reasons to hate people by playing.
But the thing is,
like, imagine in a real zombie apocalypse, if you saw, like, a dude with who's completely loaded, you wouldn't kill him?
No,
I would.
Because I'm a good person, or try to be.
I would kill him and take his women as a slave.
Yeah, but we know you're like a pseudo evil Batman who's also got some weird like anger issues and political.
What the hell does Batman have to do with him?
Yeah,
no, don't worry. There's a backstory to it.
There's a backstory. I don't know about this backstory.
Yeah, no, you do. We just didn't. You don't remember when we established that you were an evil Batman. Anyway, Enchanted Echo, what have you been doing this week?
I've been playing some Crater, which is pretty cool.
Pretty good. Oh, that's the, was it Czech?
Swedish. Yeah, Fat Shark.
Yeah. The Swedish Diablo 2 / many other genres mashed into one game.
Yeah,
right?
It's a bit of a mishmash, to be honest. But...
Do you like it?
I don't know. The dungeons are kind of... I'm kind of sick of dungeons in general, so it's kind of hard to get excited about, you know, crawling.
Wait, did you play D3?
Yeah, well, I'm currently playing through that at the same time as well, so it's kind of polarizing between the two.
Yeah, well, I can't really see, because I just finished my stint of Diablo 3 about 2 weeks ago, just before the last beta, and I'm over that kind of game for the next couple of years, I have to say. I cannot. Like, I looked at Crater, I'm like, hey, that looks cool. The Outshot looks interesting. Kind of looks like Borderlands-y. But I just can't do it. I'm sorry.
Your mind will probably change when Torchlight 2 comes out.
No, because I didn't even play the first Torchlight.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard some really good things about Torchlight 2. Like, better than Diablo 3.
Yeah, I've heard that the first Torchlight was better than Diablo 2. I think that's a bit of an over-exaggeration. But Torchlight 2 has multiplayer, so it can very well be that Torchlight 2 is better than Diablo 3. I wouldn't be surprised, but
That's just what I've heard from people who've played the beta.
I think that developer's more open to make, you know, big changes because it's not their, you know, darling game of whatever, however long that series has been going. So.
And they're expected to be different. That's the beauty of Torchlight. Like they, but their fans want them to be different to Diablo 3.
Yeah.
Why would you change a clone? The clone's supposed to be exactly the same with a different name.
I hate you. Well, I still don't know why I get you on every week. I remember. News. Let's move on to news. Let's segue. Let's use that as a boat. I don't know why I said boat. News, Noobarama, bring us through it. Do it for us. Run us through the news topics, then we'll get into the discussion.
News? All right. Yep. In Guild Wars 2 news this week, a stress test was announced for Wednesday, June 27th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Earlier this week, Kristen Cox announced that the character dies are no longer unlocked in an account basis. Instead, one must unlock up to 400 colors for each of their individual characters. Upon the announcement, she elaborates, "Customized dies should be something that denotes your character's progress, like better looking or elaborate gear."
You were going so well with this, but then you just fucking torpedoed it.
More time on your character. They grow and gain access to more customization options. If we make dies account-based, this progression will only happen on one character. On Monday earlier this week, a private video was uploaded to the official Guild Wars 2 YouTube page, which was titled "Ratasu, Capital of the Asura in Guild Wars 2. Could this suggest an appearance of the Asura in next month's beta weekend event?
Guild Wars
2 peripherals have been announced from SteelSeries. Articles included were a headset, a mouse, and 3 mouse pads. You misspelled 3.
Yeah, I did.
Confirmed in Reddit Ask Me Anything, an item previewer is in the works, so one can preview an item on their character before making a purchase.
All right, so that was actually pretty good. You didn't fail as much as I thought you would, even though you did stumble.
Wow, thanks for your confidence in me, dickhead. Fuck you too.
Well, you still didn't nail it, so my level of confidence was fully justified.
I need to do like a different person because it's a quote, and I'm like, it's like a video because you don't.
But you switch from English male to X unknown female.
That was no female. X unknown that was a female? Man in drag. That was a drag queen.
Oh, clearly.
Was that what you're aiming for?
Yeah. Customized right.
Such a good option.
You're being quite rude to Miss Kristen Cox.
All right, so the first discussion topic of the week, stress test starting Wednesday 27th from 10 a.m.
Oh, yeah. 24 hours a day.
Oh, right.
Nothing.
When I have work.
Oh.
Great.
That's my employment.
That's the thing, right? Noob, when are you going to be, what time is going to be your time when this happens? You're not going to have anything to do, right? You're between exams and
let's
stuff.
Let's see.
Some holidays.
That's like
2 hours or 3 hours.
Can't
so it's like one
to. It's 1 p.m.
to
5 p.m.
All right. Yeah.
So you're going to be there, right?
Of course. What am I going to do? Not play Guild Wars 2.
Don't be silly.
You're funny.
Yeah. For us, it's like, what was it? It was 3 a.m. to 7 a.m.?
Yeah, or 1 a.m. to 5 a.m.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, just put everything in perspective. Chad Deck is from Perth, and we're from Sydney, all in Australia. So, oh, man. Are you going to make it, Chad?
Actually, Sydney's a city in Ontario. Fuck you.
I might play out the first.
Of course, by city he means a tiny little remote tundra village.
No, it's
like all Canadian cities.
Nickel mining city in Ontario.
Fuck.
I might play out the first hour. I don't know. But it's a pretty awkward
thank
time.
Thank you for bringing us back to talk. For an hour. I don't know, because I've heard... Well, I'll just go, Rawson, you're going to be working. Noob, you're going to be playing it. I'm not. I'm going to be sleeping. Tarkin, you going to go to it?
That's going to be Thursday morning. I think I'll
something
make
like
it.
Something like that, yeah. Are you serious? Don't you have uni or something? No, you finished your final exams.
I just said
so...
I finished my exams.
Yeah, so you're going to be...
Oh, I'm sorry. Nothing. It's not Sydney. It's Sudbury. I don't know why I got Sydney.
There are multiple Sydneys in the States. There are multiple.
There's no Sydney in Ontario. I'm sorry.
I don't know if there's any Sydneys around here.
Oh, fuck.
Actually, Sydney, Canada hosts the largest fiddle in the world.
We have Baltimore.
No, we don't care.
Oh.
Baltimore's pretty cool, guys.
No, the largest fiddle in the world sounds interesting. It just got nothing to do with Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
Like, and we're off to 20 minutes now, so we should totally actually stay on topic.
Anyone want to come over here to Baltimore? It's pretty cool, I guess.
Wait, are you in Baltimore? I didn't know you were in Baltimore.
About Good Morning Baltimore.
Anyway, but yeah, so there's unconfirmed, I'd say, elements of this. So a lot of it has been pretty much subject to criticism because people are like, hey, it's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. PDT. I'm American, I can't be there, for example, like Rawson. He's working and stuff like that. A lot of people complaining, especially I think it blew up on Guild Wars 2 Guru. But the main thing is, Arena has been pretty vocal about the fact that this stress test, unlike the last one, for example, is more targeted towards the UK and EU listeners and players. So it's going to be good for them because, again, unconfirmed. Do you have anything to say?
Oh, can I just mention something real quick? If as of June 22nd, there is a 12,000 file update on Guild Wars. So if you,
oh, really?
If you have really slow internet, you might want to get going on that now.
That's well, you can't tell the size because it doesn't really tell you when you start down there.
Right, but 12,000 is what like
the files. So it's probably going to be at least over a gig
as its downloads.
Yeah, it's going to be over a gig probably.
Yeah,
like most likely. So yeah, start downloading now if you want to be there for the stress test, I guess. I don't know whether. Yeah, and they're keeping your characters from the last beta.
Again? All right, good.
Yeah,
I'm assuming they'll keep it for the next beta weekend then.
How long till they wipe them, do you reckon? Until they wipe characters?
I want to get onto this discussion shortly, but just to round things out. So they're aiming it towards the European guys because the last beta was pretty late in the night and or at a weird time for them. So for the guys complaining about the timing for this one, just keep it in your minds that, hey, there's more people out there who play Guild Wars 2 than there's to the US guys. Aside from that...
Yeah, but none of them matter.
Pieces of shit.
ArenaNet do try to take care of the EU guys. They have dedicated EU...
They're not terrible at it. They're just not that great at it. But this is a good...
Hey, better than most.
Martin Kirstein is pretty damn awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, the unconfirmed part, which I was trying to get to, was they're repeating the ending event, which we'll be talking about later this episode. So if you missed that last time and you're in the EU, or if you have nothing to do like Nubarama, just check it out. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I missed it last time.
Yeah, I very exams. Much recommend it. And I'll... Do you want me to spoil it towards... Or do you want me to just not go into this episode? Or do you want...
I mean, if it's magical, then please... try to restrain yourself in, like, describing the magic. Because
okay,
I think the magic
it's pretty much awesome from start to end. So, let's just say we won't discuss it this show.
Yes.
The event will be, next week. So you can experience it, and then we can discuss it next show, I guess. And Durin will be here, and he was there at the event as well. So we can discuss it then. This week we'll stick to WWE. Before that, and Chad brought up a great topic. So they're not wiping your characters for this beta, right? They didn't wipe it for the last one, and our characters have been here from the first beta weekend event. So when do you guys think that they'll actually wipe the characters? Do you think they'll wipe the characters? How many betas do you think are left before the game comes out? We'll start with the first one. Do you guys think they're going to wipe the characters for the next beta?
No.
Anyone? No?
No.
No,
they won't wipe
not.
It.
No.
I'll bet one copper coin that they will not wipe their characters.
Heavy roller, man.
High stakes.
I mean, I know. You, well, you
what are you basing that on? Like, why do you think they're not going to wipe them, noob?
Well, if they're keeping it for the stress test, I feel like this is just a repeat of the last, stress test. In terms of, like, what it is.
No, not for the stress test. I mean the next beta.
Oh, yeah, but, like, so, they kept their characters for the stress test, even though they said they'd wipe their characters
right.
entirely after the end of the beta. I feel like they're just going to do that again. Just, like, keep those characters, and then, we'll wipe it. Well, they never even said they'd wipe it last time.
They consistently wiped it for the closed and press betas, but they never
right.
wiped it for the opens.
Exactly.
Or
so
the
I
inverted
don't,
comma
I don't
opens.
Think so.
So do you think
I don't
think
see
that,
a need for them to wipe it.
So even
like,
if they're like bringing the new races and stuff, you don't think they'll wipe it?
Well, even if they bring in the new races, do you think people are just going to play the same stuff if they don't add new content to the other zones? I feel like people will create new stuff.
What, like, if they now you're introduce... in support of the argument they do wipe it?
Right. Oh, no, because I would assume that if they do introduce new races, like, they wouldn't be adding in stuff to the content to the existing areas. They'd just be adding in those new races. And I'm assuming most people would go create new characters and try out those new races.
I don't know, because I was level 25 or something, right, when I finished the last beta. I can definitely see myself spending more time and getting him to 30 to try Ascalon Catacombs, so hopefully they've fixed it. Then I'd miss out time with the new race, for example, if they brought in the Azura. Right. I think there's a valid argument for wiping, if they're bringing in the new races, which we'll discuss later, or maybe now, that to wipe characters, because it would allow people to try different things. For example, some people who have done only one character this entire time, I think, Tarkin has pretty much only stuck with his guardian. Wiping the characters will encourage him to try out something different, right?
Right.
Which could be useful. Like, more things can be tested. Rawson, thought they would
get mad.
I don't think they will.
They'll do it. I mean, they didn't do it last time, but I think they want more people to invest more in a character and go ahead and get a little bit further, at least in the game, as a bit more of a teaser type thing. Because I didn't hit the max level. I didn't hit level 35.
Well, 35 was not the max level.
Someone got plus.
Yeah, that was not the max level.
But the max level for content. Was around 35.
Okay. I didn't hit 35, and I would have liked to. So I guess mostly I'm hoping they don't wipe it, just so I can attempt to hit that cap.
Yeah, and just to round that out, Enchanted and Tarkin, do you guys think that they'll wipe the characters for the next beta?
I think they will once they introduce a new race, because they can't keep new high level content, because they don't want to show off because that cap will increase. They'll probably show it in the level 40 zone next big actual update, because they're going to keep moving up. But I don't really care, because I can just talk to an NPC and get level to whatever level they choose.
Wait,
because I'm on a special list. Yeah.
Oh, you bastard!
Wait, there's an NPC in the game. Everyone can reach, apparently.
Can everyone talk to him?
Mm-hmm. Anyone can talk to him, but I've got all appeal to try and do it, and it hasn't worked for them. So.
Oh, right. So
wait,
it's only
does
people
this
now.
Man have this magic key that opens
yeah, he's,
him
he's
into
in the,
new dimension?
He's in the Australian press list.
So, yeah, it's going to be a load of gear.
I envy you. It's jealousy. Jesus.
So I'm level 37, and I've played, like, barely any PV. So.
Oh, fuck you. I hate you so much.
Oh, you bastard. I worked my way up to 36.
I was bleeding out of my eyes from all that time I put into Guild Wars so I can make my guardian level 35. And then guess what you did? You just negated
to an
all
NPC.
Of that effort. You son of a bitch.
That's a great point. Like, for example, I think that's a great idea to wipe existing characters. Even though I like my human warrior for the next beta weekend event, assuming they put in new races, because it'll encourage people to try new things. For example, like Rawson, if he's already level 20-something, like me, we probably push through so we can experience the higher-level content. Also, yeah, Enchanted, really good point. Do you want them to start putting in level 45, level 50 content to the betas? Wouldn't it be spoiling that for the game? There are only 80 levels in this game. Like, Noob, would you want them to put higher-level content still?
Yeah. Well, not
just because
not when they add the new stuff.
Yeah, I'd rather they just fucking release the game already.
Yep.
Right.
Come on, fuck your internet. I don't have that much time. Yeah, I do, but
yeah,
whatever.
You do.
Come on, okay. ArenaNet. I could die next
week.
Yeah,
I could die while this game is on limbo.
Probably have been people who have died, who were waiting for the game.
Yeah.
And they died.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah,
a morbid,
that.
Probably
the,
true
those
point.
Lives
5 years.
That you...
Jesus. Way to bring it down. But true.
I was just trying to bring up the fact that I got to get my wisdom teeth removed next week, and I could fucking die from anesthesia.
You could die of pain. It's fucking painful. Oh, man.
Way to derail.
Die.
Wait,
think
so,
of those lives, ain't it?
Would you guys... Okay, if presented the option of continuing the current characters, there being level 45 content, and not having the new races, or having the new races but everything's wiped, what would you guys choose? Enchanted?
I'll have the new races, because I want to play Asura, so. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, damn straight. Well, Rorson hates Asura. Rorson, what do you think? Dude, do you want 45 or any races?
I want to kick Asura in the fucking teeth.
I just like the animation.
That does not answer the question.
But I still answered something.
Yeah, you did. But do you want 45 or do you want new races?
I don't know. I would probably want to check out, like, at least the Silvari area.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be interesting. Cool.
Yeah, the Silvari is number two.
I do kind of want to check out the plant elves.
They are not elves.
That's sexy.
Yes, there you go.
Elves, you are desecrating the Silvari.
There you go. See, the Guild Wars 2 Defense Force, represented by Tarkin there, disagrees with that.
I'm just saying, you know, they look like elves.
They're plants.
They look like elves.
They're not
I
elves.
Actually
they're
don't
plants.
Think,
they look nothing
I actually
like
legitimately
elves.
Think they don't look like elves.
They're not tiny, and they don't work in Santa's workshop, so they're not elves.
No,
God
those aren't elves. Those are just slave labor forces. they keep them small by systematically malnourishing them. Well-known fact.
Tarkin.
That's why Santa has to go work up on the North Pole. That way he can avoid any sort of labor laws. No one's going to go up there to enforce labor laws on a bunch of slaves.
Tarkin, 45 or new races?
To be honest, new races, but I don't really like the Asura.
Yeah,
man, you guys have no taste.
Asura look cool, I guess.
The Silvari have better than the Asura.
Oh, well, the Silvari are legitimately... I think pretty sure everyone likes their character design at minimum. Maybe not the race itself, but the character design is legitimately good. I'm pretty sure it's been universally appraised. Praised, not appraised. I personally also think that I'd prefer my characters to be white. I know that even if they introduce the Silvari and Asura, I'm still going to stick with my human warrior till at least level 30 so I can try out some dungeons. I'd vastly prefer if they let you start the new characters and maybe at the end of the starting areas, put an NPC there to bump you up to 30 for normal people instead of just the press to let us do both, have like both sides of the deal. Give us new characters and let us check out the dungeons and stuff. That would be the optimal solution. I hope they do it. But we'll get to speculation on the next beta in a bit. Nibirama, and for those who've forgotten, and I want to hear it again. Can you read out the second news topic, please?
Oh, with or without the voice?
With, please.
Okay. Earlier this week, Kristen Cox announced that character dies are no longer unlocked in an account basis. Instead, one must unlock up to 400 colors for each of the individual characters. Upon the announcement, she elaborates, "Now, what do I do here?"
Anything you want.
Just keep going with your current voice.
Customize die should be something that denotes your character's progress, like better looking, more elaborate gear. As you spend more time on your character, they grow and gain access to more customization options. If we make die's account based, this progression will only happen on one character.
I call this bullshit.
Yeah, fuck you, Kristen Cox, you transvestite.
Oh my god, okay.
That is mean.
That was more than I expected.
I don't even know
I'm
what
sorry.
She looks like.
I'm sorry.
Or what her gender is.
Alright, Nibirama, what do you think of this statement?
Why? Why do I need to unlock 400 dies on every fucking character?
Would you,
why?
Though? Like, would you even care?
Yes, I... My character needs to be the most fabulous character in all of Azeroth.
Azeroth?
Sorry, Tyria.
In all of Asura's Wrath.
In all of Asura's Wrath.
That's what I heard, actually, that I realized. Would you seriously?
Do this? Like, is that really necessary? What does this add to the game by forcing you to unlock...
They're going to make you pay to unlock all of them. On all characters.
Oh, yeah, that definitely.
Oh, yeah, because you can pay for... Isn't that a bit shady? You can pay for random die packs. Yeah. Random die packs. You can't even pay for, like, individual dies.
Well, I'm assuming...
It's like paying for booster cards, except you look better. Unlike Magic the Gathering, where the amount of Magic the Gathering cards you have, the worse you look as a human being. By the way, I have 2 shoeboxes full.
Hell yeah. No, I don't. I never
don't have any magic cards.
Magic the Gathering. But No, you bring up a good point. Like, this is purely cosmetic. Like, I can see, and I personally, I'll get into what my thoughts are. Yeah, like in the end, this doesn't affect you too badly because you do start off with some dyes and some pretty good ones. Like, you get some a metallic gray and you get like reds and stuff out of the box. So with all the new characters you start off with a basic set of
dyes. I'm pretty sure it's based off of your profession because apparently it's like roughly 20-ish default colors for each one.
Oh, yeah. No, and so, yeah, there you go. But either way, you start with, like, a bunch of default colors, and the only things you're really unlocking is, like, the special stuff, so the extra 400. Turkey, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, the die seems to drop more often than die in Guild Wars 1, so...
Do they? No. I only picked up, like, one die.
Yeah, I've only picked up, like, six. Three dies.
Some people have, like...
In Guild Wars, I'd have, like, a stack of... like yellow green dyes that go for like
you wouldn't have six
at
the time
gold.
We've been playing. You wouldn't have six. You'd have like three.
But we only spent like 1.5 days on PvE.
Some people have like some people have like hundreds. Like they have screenshots showing them all off.
Whoa.
But
how long do they like?
I don't know. Are they killing particular? I don't know what they're doing. But
yeah, and are they trading? What? Like, can you buy dyes off the trading post?
Yeah, that must be what they're doing. The rare ones look pretty.
Can you confirm?
The rare ones look pretty lame to me. Like, at least with Guild Wars, you had black and white, and even though you might not think it looks cool outside of the game, when you're in it, you understand. You know,
yeah.
White dye is cool.
There's a reason why
goddamn black dye.
Yeah, there's a reason why black dye was 5k. It was like almost armor because again, like they try to make the armors reflect the dye you're using. It's not just like a small change, it's usually quite like a significant one. So when you put on a black dye and like some of the original Guild Wars 1 armors, it's like the only way to roll because it looks
badass. Sometimes the black dye costs just as much or more than the armor you're wearing. It's insane. Like a fully decked out set of black dye, that's like 50k.
Mm. Yeah, it's like 5k. You're reminding me of
back when I played Ultima Online and pure black dye was a rare item and it was worth a lot of money because otherwise your black dye wasn't really black, it was more like a dark gray.
Wait, so that, did I ask your opinions, Rosen? What are your thoughts?
I like Ultima Online because that was a pretty cool game. Before EA came along and fucking ruined it like they do with everything.
God damn it. Wait, so do you think they should have like account unlocked dyes like they originally said they would? Because the thing is, a lot of the anger comes from the fact that 2 years ago, there was a, when they first, I think it was about 2 years ago, one year ago, something like that, they did an article on the Guild Wars 2 blog, which essentially was them laying out what their plans were for dyes, and they told you about like the hot swapping system. You didn't have to buy like usable dyes, you just unlock it and you can use it. And back then, their line was, dyes are going to be account-based, you don't have to worry about it. Once you get a new dye, it's now unlocked across all your characters and all that fancy, awesome stuff. So that's where a lot of the outrage comes from, but like, do you remember the article, Rosen? Or what do you think?
I don't remember that article. But,
so they're liars. They went back on their word.
They changed their minds.
I don't like having to repeat the same sort of stuff over and over on a character, and I know it's ultimately just cosmetic, but it would still be nice just to be able to... It would be more convenient, ultimately, if I only had to, you know, unlock a die once. Because, yes, it's cosmetic, and I shouldn't give a shit about it, but at the same time, like, that can be twisted around and work in the opposite manner. Where it's, yes, it's something small and minute, so I shouldn't have to worry about it. I shouldn't have to care about it. It should be more convenient.
I guess, but like Enchanted, what are your thoughts on, because their counter argument to Rawson's statement is customized die. Like if you get the top level dies on one of your characters, you're just gonna dump the mystic golden die of awesomeness on your next character, wouldn't you? Like what are your thoughts, Enchanted?
I think it kind of goes against their whole like, ethos of the game of it being, you know, more convenient to play than traditional MMOs, and this is like
Do you think their statement has basis? Like, wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you put the best die on all your characters instead of just the one who unlocked it?
Yeah, I don't really know what the argument is for having, you know, them split across everything. Like, why not? I guess if you make a new character, then maybe
that's
they don't,
it. Like, maybe they if want... it's like a brilliant, like glowing golden or something that looks just absolutely amazing on any arm you put it on, mm-hmm. and you lock it with your highest level character, wouldn't you put that on your lowest level character?
Yeah.
Like, would you want it to look more awesome?
Right, yeah, but on the other hand, I earned it once. Why do I have to go back and earn it
like,
again?
If I decide to buy dye, because I probably will, for like hundreds of gold, you know, spending thousands of dollars or whatever,
and, also,
and I buy this dye and it's like, fuck you, just on one character. Sorry.
Also, yeah, I look cool, but who the fuck cares if I look cool or not?
You do.
I do. Yeah, exactly, but no one else is going to probably care. No one's right. going to be like, oh, man, shit, he has the glowing golden and black dye. He looks like a
hornet. But here's the thing.
He looks cool.
Since you care what you look like, it's easy for them to rationalize that cosmetics is an easy way to get people to spend money, whether in-game or real-world.
So is that your aspect of
it? And it is one of their money sources.
Yeah, that is something that does seem kind of...
I think it's full shady.
Evil ArenaNet trying to earn money.
So wait, Tarkin, do you think that was their actual real reason rather than this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's very limited... Like, not all dyes look good. Like, even the best dyes don't look the best across all characters and armors.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. If it seems like the first
Guild Wars. Even in Guild Wars 1, black dye does not work on all the armors.
Yeah, it looks good on some armors, but not every armor.
It looks nice, really
black dye.
Nice on the Oppressor's Scythe. That's what I can say.
But yeah, it's a good point. Like, they could actually be saying, hey, there's this thing on the gem store called the Random Dye Pack. Why don't we get people to buy that a whole bunch by making it unlock randomly per character? And I can see people... Because it's not like you can purchase a specific dye. It's not like you can go into the gem store and go, hey, I want the golden mystic dye of awesomeness. And only that. You have to get a random dye pack? Seriously?
You're spending hundreds of dollars on these random dye packs for this single dye, unlocking on one character.
As far as I can tell,
you
don't
another.
Get double ups.
Oh, you can't get double. Like, if you already have one unlocked, he won't give you, because that's potentially just as bad, because it means if you do spend X amount, you will get that die.
Eventually,
it's kind of
yes.
worse, don't you think? No, it's not worse, but it's just as bad, I think.
Well, then I mean, like, having more than like one of the same die is fine, because then you can sell the other one if it's valuable.
But you can't sell it.
Oh, you can't sell dyes?
No, you unlock the die.
Oh, yeah. No, but you can sell...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I thought it drops the item, then you have to...
It drops the item that you double-click to unlock, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, so it probably does that, which means you can probably trade on the trading... Like, has anyone checked? Can you actually buy dyes off the trading post? I don't remember. I can't...
I don't know. I don't... All I bought was the chef cooking outfit for one gold, which I want my refund.
What?
It's kind of lame, because if... Okay, so my opinion on this is they kind of have a point. Like, because sure, when I get to the top level knight's armor for warrior, I want that armor and I want it to look as best as it can, because at that point I've already spent like pretty much all my money on it. I want to make it look badass. So in the first Guild Wars, I got the 15k armor and then spent the whatever it was, like 50k on gold, like black dye. I think I actually changed it up and went back to silver after a while. But anyway, black dye format for that armor. It was part of the inverted commas achievement to get the max armor to get the equivalent really cool die set for it, right? And it's kind of their point. They're saying people, it's part of the loot treadmill mentality. People, when looking for the loot treadmill, looking for the best armor, looking for the armor for them, they want that experience of having, yes, getting the best armor, but there's a secondary experience of also making it look as cool as possible, like the decking out your character kind of thing. That's a thing people want. That's an experience people like having. And that could be cool to allow that for some dyes in the game. Right, so my actual perspective is, like, I could take all of that as a given, and I assume most of you would agree with me on that point. It is an achievement for a lot of people, it's something that people look for, and it's part of getting the max armor. Like that's something right. that is part of their statement.
Like that's the whole idea behind prestige armor in the original Guild Wars. It's the same as the 15k armor, but it's like 80 times more expensive.
Exactly, and that's the same thing if they're aiming for the same kind of experience with the dice, and I can see where they're going with that. But 400 dice? Like, seriously? You're going to make me unlock...
That's a lot of dice.
That aside, like, I love the fact that they... And of course, this 400 dice thing does include the fact that there's multiple shades of brown, so there's wood brown and there'd be leather brown, right? That'd be two different sides of brown. So, even though they look very barely different on the character, it's still two different distinct colors. And there's textures associated with the dice. Like, some dice make your armor look more metallic, and some dice make it look more leathery. Like, the dies that have a texture.
It's going to be all leather.
So like, the best option would be to have some dies unlockable and others
exactly!
You know, the unlocking ones. Yeah.
High five, noob. That was what I was going to come to. What if...
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better if about 380 or 350 of those dies were unlocked across all your characters, but there were some prestige dies that you had to do, like, specific quest lines and, like, objectives for? That would be cool. That would be a reason to, A, do those quests... And a cool reward for doing those like event chains and stuff like that, and have it unlockable for the top.
I feel like it should
characters.
More be like 200, like half.
Sure, but it's that's either way is better than 20 dies that come with your character, and then 380 dies that you have to unlock per character, right? Like, I love the idea of there being prestige dies, because, again, it could look awesome. Like, for example, in Diablo 3, when you see someone walk around with those collector's edition wings, it looks so badass, and I wouldn't mind having that, but I wouldn't have pitched in for a collector's edition anyway. The same kind of thing with if there was, like, dies that did, like, have, like, a glow to them or some really cool, like, distinguishing effect, that could be awesome.
Like, for those people who got totally fucked over, like idiots like me, who bought the digital deluxe edition, should get a special die, because that's what I deserve for paying $20 more than the regular copy of the game. Because I'm literally getting nothing here, man. Come on.
I told you not to get it. Well, no,
you
sorry.
Never,
I didn't tell you.
I already bought it by the time you were
exactly.
like, go get it.
But when you got it, I made fun of you.
That's true.
I'm an idiot. I pre-ordered the collector's edition.
Wow! Wait, so has public opinion swapped on this? Like, most people were like, "Yeah, hell yeah, I got the collector's edition."
I don't know. If, like, $150.
No, but the thing about the difference is you get physical stuff. Like for the digital deluxe,
right. Yeah, I do. I do get a pretty badass Ritlock statue, which is going to go right next
$20 for nothing.
It's going to go right next to my Geralt of Rivia bust that I got with Witcher 2 and
your other anime figurines
and all my anime figurines. I have the entire cast of Puella Magimatica Magica.
Okay, you know what? Let's continue on.
Enchanted, what are your thoughts on this dice?
All their panties
do you think
too.
It would be better if there was like unlockable prestige dies, but the rest of the dice to be a specific character? What percentage do you want to see? Like, what are your thoughts on this?
Just before I go into that, I think it wouldn't be so much of a problem if they didn't offer a previous option before, like giving people more and then offering them less after is going to make, you know, you're just guaranteed to have a bad reaction, so.
Oh, yeah, like, they gave it to us and they took it away. It wasn't a case of them,
So it's kind of a bad faux pas on their part to, you know, do that in the first place, but, I think what you suggested with the prestige stuff sounds better. Maybe, like, probably up the top 25, because I don't actually think that, like, half the dies are actually... good.
Any good. Like, I am not going to quest for that mystical purple. I'm sorry. I know purple is a pretty sweet, rad color, and if I ever make a female character, which I never do, I'll probably pop it on her. But
just doesn't work on male warrior.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sure it does. You can make a fabulous...
Well, maybe if it's a black dude with a sweet afro and I gave him purple armor, that would be pretty awesome. But and go back to afro spiking from the first Guild Wars, which is a joke only 5 people in the world will get. But the current system I think is a bit too much. I like being able to swap dies in my character. I like being able to get into, I like to be a consistent character across all my, I'm sorry, color across all my characters. That's another big thing. Like, I realized that maybe for a max level dude, I want him to have really cool prestige colors on him.
It's still better than like what you get elsewhere, though, when you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
It's better than Diablo 3, where you have to buy an individual die and then use it on a piece of armor, and then it's over.
Yeah.
You have to buy another one for each new piece of armor. Yeah, you're right. But still, I'm just not too impressed. Well, yeah. So what's the ending opinions of everyone? I'll go around the table on this one. Rawson, what's your final statements on this topic?
You should make it more convenient for me, not less.
Right, and so you'd like it if they returned to their previous way, right?
Yeah, that's obvious. That's the more convenient.
Yeah, so everything locked on the cross. Would you concede that maybe having prestige ones is better, or do you just want it to be unlocked across everything?
I don't know about the prestige stuff. That sounds like a bunch of work. I'm cool. Not in the mood for work.
Noob, what are your final thoughts on this topic?
I've actually gone back on my opinion. I think everything should be unlocked. I don't want to do prestige ones, especially prestige ones where I have to spend so much money on fucking dies. Jesus Christ.
I was thinking more along the lines of like hard event chains, but okay. Tarkin, what are your final thoughts on this topic?
Fast. As long as I don't have to buy it.
Yeah, you don't have to buy it, you have to earn it. That'd be cool, yeah. Right?
Yeah, turning. Yeah.
I'm not too fast. I'll stick with the default unless I find something interesting. So I don't really mind.
Yeah. So I'm actually the least affected by this because all my dudes are going to be gray and darker gray because I like full realism, and you get all the browns and grays, like the metal grays for your chainmail out of the box with the warrior.
Yeah. You're going to feel really silly then, running around in your full realism colors while everyone else is dressed up like a fucking clown.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to feel really dumb.
I'm gonna feel Enchanted. So out of place.
What are your final thoughts?
Yeah, I'd rather have the old system, but I guess this one isn't so bad when you compare it to other stuff. But it's still,
when you compare it to
really
stuff,
weird decision to make and announce.
Well, yeah, it was more of a because we actually noticed it during the last beta. Durin made a new character with, and he wanted to go back to some of the diet. Like again, he prefers, like me, to have the same colors across all the characters. So if someone sees you in your guild, for example, they know who they're dealing with. But he looked across his characters and he realized that he couldn't re-dye his new character in the same colors as his old one because some of that was unlocked. And we thought it was a bug because we remembered that it should be account unlocked. But yeah, either way, it's always better than having purchasable dyes. I agree. So I think that's everyone, right? Did I miss anyone? I guess we can move to the next topic. Anubarami, if you want to read out for us?
The next topic. Let's do this. On Monday, earlier this week, a private video was uploaded to the official Guild Wars 2 YouTube page, which was titled, Ratasum, Capital of the Asura in Guild Wars 2. Could this suggest an appearance of the Asura in next month's beta weekend?
Tarkin, I think you had something to say about this. Before anyone else jumps on it, I think Tarkin has some dissenting opinions. Go.
Okay, the video that was uploaded is the UK version. The US version was uploaded 2 months ago.
Oh, okay. Right, so you're saying that essentially this is them updating an old video.
No. It looks like it's for like advertising or something. But even more importantly, the official ArenaNet channel uploaded it 8 months ago.
So you're saying a video
exact
of the same
video.
The exact same name?
Yeah,
just a different intro.
Right. All right. So it's very possible this entire thing was because the first person or one of the first people to report on it was actually Bogarter, who's a really cool guy. He's on Guildcast. I love him. I love his work. And he what happened to him is he received an email from the ArenaNet YouTube channel, which told him about the update, and he clicked through to it. And it just came up to as a private video, so he assumed that maybe it was like a mistake, and they're uploading the video for reveal later, close to the next beta. But again, yeah, Tarkin saying that this same video was actually previously uploaded months and months ago, and this was just like them. It might have just been a faux pas or a second upload. I don't know those lines.
It's not. They release US and UK versions. Like, you know the MMO manifesto? The US version was uploaded 11 months ago. The UK version was uploaded 3 months ago.
All right. And yeah, clearly they're not announcing the game again, pretty much. So, Enchanted, have you heard about this?
No, this is the first time I've heard of it.
Cool. I just thought you had something to say that. Anyway, so the sad part is a lot of people jumped onto this saying, hey, that's freaking awesome. because they've really, well, they're releasing the Asura next beta weekend. Because again, like they had a blog post this week talking about the design philosophy, which I thought was a snorefest. But one of the images on that blog post was a platforming image, and hey, platforming it was too awesome, I guess? Question mark. Some people like it, some people don't. I should say that of an Asura jumping. A pretty awesome video. It was like really zoomed out. It was like all these platforms and Asura, like a tiny little Asura was jumping from one platform to another, and behind it was this waterfall, right? And it's Asura. So everyone's like, hey, there's this video that went up about the Asura, and there's this Asura in this image for the blog post. Maybe they're giving us hints for the next beta weekend event. But it, apparently it's going to be, they're looking a bit too deeply at it. Is that what you say? What are your thoughts, Rawson?
What?
Yeah, were you paying attention?
Yes, I was. it sounds more like it was just they forgot to upload it to the UK channel, so they
but if
did.
If you hadn't heard the reality behind the situation, what would your thoughts have been? I'm just interested to know. Fuck yeah, Asura? Or no, you wouldn't say.
I probably wouldn't have been checking the UK channel for Guild Wars 2 ever, so I can't really tell you.
Yeah, and Noob, your thoughts? Are you let down by the fact that it's probably not the Asura announcement?
Yeah, because I thought it was like going to be, oh, Asura's coming, watch out, kids, or something like that.
I know, right?
And that's a disappointment. Yeah, fuck you again, ArenaNet.
Every decision you've made in the past month has been terrible, I hate you.
Right.
first it was skills and traits, and now it's this, right?
Well, hey, right. Noob, you can join me in playing The Secret World. The newest WoW killer of the week.
Shit. I'm gonna start downloading right now.
It's free beta this weekend.
Oh boy! It's brought to you by Funcom. Who's offering us new brand experiences with The Secret World.
Can I get a take of that Funcom statement again? Can you just say Funcom for me again that way?
Funcom.
All right. How are we gonna split this check?
I do it deeper. Do it deeper.
Funcom.
No, that sounds awesome. Anyway. There we go. All right.
Funcom.
So.
Okay.
I was personally really disappointed when Tarkin
talked.
I put this story on because I was like, hell yeah, Asura. And then Tarkin's like, dude, nah. I'm like, oh. That's my essential response.
Destroyer of dreams and hope.
Destroyer of dreams, yeah. Tarkin. That's my response.
Dude, it was like a two-second search on YouTube.
Yeah, I hate you.
Hope is the first step on the road to disappointment.
Hey, just because I don't research any of the stories I put in this podcast doesn't mean you have to.
2 seconds was research? What?
No, I really... Because it's one of those things where my hopes for it may have overtook my journalistic integrity, of which I have none because I'm not a journalist, I'm an engineer. But yeah, no,
your
it's...
engineering integrity.
I wanted.
Yeah, we do totally have to have integrity, dude. I don't know how it is in your Australia land, but here in America,
nah,
you have
that,
to take. No,
nah, plane will fly.
Tests.
That plane will fly. Whatever. Yeah, we yeah. There's a crack. No, it's just a crack. I just put some glue in there. Whatever.
but this is a circuit board. Nah, just put glue on it.
Yeah, whatever. It's glue. It'll fix it.
Solder.
Oh, there's a stupid post
you mean
on Jump
tape,
Bomb,
right?
Was a, I think it was like, what if I coat something in glue? Would it be unbreakable? Question mark.
What?
I hate people.
Stop it. Just go.
Noob Rama, take us to the next piece of news.
How did that BBC intro go? Whatever. That's irrelevant.
Just
Guild Wars 2 peripherals have been announced from SteelSeries. Articles include a headset, a mouse.
No.
God,
no. Stop.
Terrible.
Do it German. In the voice.
I don't know where I went with that.
Alright, so Guild Wars 2 peripherals have been announced from SteelSeries. We're essentially looking at a mouse, a headset, and 3 mouse pads, I think it was.
Oh, like those sexy breast mouse pads?
Yeah.
No, God.
This is not Japan. This is not Japan.
You can buy one when you pre-order the latest great hentai game. Do you like Horny Bunnies 4?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, something like that. So, the actual equipment themselves, they look like... So this is my problem, right? It's from SteelSeries, who are fine. They put out good stuff, but the actual images...
Their keyboards are really good.
They're all right. They're all right. If you just Google SteelSeries GW2 lineup, you can see the actual images of the stuff. But in my opinion, like, this headset and the mice and, like, pretty much all of these look a bit cheap. Like, is anyone else looking at the same JPEG? I can link it to you. It's in the show notes. Tarkin, or you're the one who showed me the JPEG. What are your thoughts? Would you buy any of these?
The mouse pads look decent enough, but the headset, no. The mouse, I'm not sure. It might be fine, but
yeah,
I don't know.
You think they use an MMO mouse with, like, you know, bulk buttons? I've never used one before.
Yeah.
Oh god, those things look so fucking horrible.
SteelSeries Sensei recolored.
Yeah, it is. It's a Sensei.
I like the light on the
wheel. How much does the Sensei cost?
Is the Sensei good?
It's supposed to be a good mouse, but I don't know.
This is, like I said, generic. I'm in a Logitech G9, and you'd pretty much have to pry these from my dead fingers unless you come up with something really good.
Oh, do you have the G9X?
Yes.
Solidarity, fist bump.
Damn straight, fist bump. Yeah, it's a great mouse. It doesn't have too many buttons on it. It's just got the forward and back buttons, but that's pretty much all you need.
Well, it's also got that DPI switch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's sweet DPI.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, I don't see myself switching, because the idea was, for a lot of the bigger MMOs that came out recently, I think it was Razer. Razer actually puts out, like, gets a lot of these deals and puts out the official...
SteelSeries actually got has gotten Diablo 3 and World of Warcraft mouse.
Really?
SteelSeries did that. Razer does other such wonderful ones. Let me check out their licensed gaming product. Such as, they do great games like Battlefield 3,
that's
Dragon Age 2,
that's a pretty
League
game.
Of Legends, no, Mass Effect 3, StarCraft 2.
Buys a gaming mouse for
Star Wars The Old Republic.
That's the only real MMO one I can remember.
They did a Tron
Transformers
one.
3 and Tron.
Yeah, so SteelSeries are the ones that actually get all the...
Yeah,
would you guys like to buy a $30 Tron gaming mouse mat?
Dude, it leaves a light trail behind when you move it around.
Serious?
It's a mouse mat, so probably not.
You need like a special mat and mouse, and it leaves a light trail. It's insane.
Also, it's out of stock.
That's
kind of
cool.
I don't think it actually does that, Cynic.
Damn it.
That'd be cool. Sure it was like an LED.
It's not powered by anything.
Maybe it's just the
mouse. What if it's chemicals?
It's Razer magic.
It has light and sound effects at startup and shutdown.
That sounds awesome. No, it doesn't.
So it's powered? I gotta get a battery for my fucking mouse pad? What the hell?
Wait, so...
Garbage.
The reason I brought up Razer was...
How shit is your mouse pad that it doesn't need a battery? What are you, Dark Ages? No electricity in your house? Shit.
Aside from the fact that they pretty much only did the Old Republic one, the Razer is famous for their MMO mice. Razer and I think a couple other companies, like the guys who do Rat mice, are pretty like well-established gaming mice. For example, the Razer Naga is probably the most famous one for WoW. That's the one with 12... like a ridiculously large amount of buttons 12. On the side of it. Yeah.
Why would you ever play a video game that needs that many buttons right by your thumb?
Isn't there like a 36-button mouse?
I don't know.
Who puts that out?
Stupid.
But the good thing is, like, that was 12, right? And I think that's too many. And then if you look at their MOBA mouse, it has, I think it was 6 or whatever in a hexagon shape, which I think would be pretty usable. The reason I'm saying this is I wouldn't mind there being a special, like, I'm happy with dual mousing. I'd be fine with there being a special mouse for Guild Wars 2, which just had maybe 5 buttons on it for the second half of your skill bar, for example.
Hang on a second. I'm on Razer's website right now. The Razer Naga Epic is called the Elite MMO Gaming Mouse. The Razer Naga Molten is called the Expert MMO Gaming Mouse.
Uh-huh.
What the fuck is the difference between the Expert and the Elite?
The Epic
and
is
why
wireless.
Does it justify an extra $50?
It's wireless.
Oh, God. So the wireless, so it's worse? The Epic is worse? If it's,
no, no.
Oh, wow.
You can plug it in to make it wired. But it's
okay.
Nominally wireless.
A wireless option. Great.
Probably get more lights.
But, okay, so, all right, let's run through the rest of this, because I'm pretty sure none of us are pretty excited.
Right. The Logitech G600 has 20 mice buttons.
Oh, yeah, that's the new one.
Are excited for the mouse. The headset looks absolutely freaking terrible. It's like one of those generic, shitty headsets. Have you guys caught up in looking at this picture now? Yeah. It's one of those on-ear... It's like white and red. The gear was two colors, but I just don't want a white and red headset. And just it'll get dirty. And again, I've spent, about $1,000 on my headphones and digital amplifier. I'm not interested in this at all. Would any of you looking for a headset upgrade?
Just get some Samson SR850s. There, that's what I got, and they're like $50 and they're great.
It works pretty well.
Or you can go for the Denon D5000.
Actually, does this... I don't think this even has microphone.
It might have an inline mic.
Doesn't it? Is it just headphones? It might be inline, yeah.
That'd be retarded.
Because it's called a headset, I think. It might be inline. Anyway, again, so it's a general flop on the headset as well. So the mouse pads. Now, these are white mouse pads.
What's wrong with that?
It does have an inline microphone. Okay.
With Guild Wars 2 imaging on it. So you have the big two on one of them. You have a warrior on the next one. Then you have Air, I think. Logan Thackeray.
It's Logan Thackeray, Air, and the standard Guild Wars 2.
Logo. Yeah. Would you guys be interested in these? Like, they look good, but they're white. Like, they're white mouse pads. Like, even if they're plastic,
I'm not a dirty, shit throwing ape, so I don't mess up my mouse pads like dirty apes too.
Okay. Great. And, Enchanted, would you be interested in a sweet Guild Wars 2 mouse pad?
I don't have a mouse pad at the moment, so I'm looking for one, so maybe. I don't know.
Hey,
I think they look nice.
This mouse pad is from 1995, the one I'm using right now.
But what are your opinions on white mouse pads? I still think it'll get ridiculous and dirty and disgusting after a while, even if it's plastic topped.
Maybe you should be a cleaner person, isn't it?
Maybe.
That's your fault. Sure.
Morrison, are you in the market for a sweet white Guild Wars 2 mouse pad?
No.
Turkey?
No. I would,
Turkey, round us out.
I would not get one.
I got a mouse pad. It has a dragon on it from a video game, I guess.
I like the solidness of his statement.
The thing is, I prefer monochromatic mice pads.
Well, it's only got two colors.
Innovation.
Red, white, and black. Pads. And it's mostly white.
And orange. And a bit of orange in there. Anyway.
Well, that counts as red. That counts
as mouse
red.
Pad with boobs.
All right, so we can move on. I guess the general consensus is no one's particularly excited about these SteelSeries Guild Wars 2 peripherals. Maybe you are. Maybe you want to check them out. Again, you can Google search for SteelSeries Guild Wars 2 lineup. Or just check out SteelSeries. I assume they have it on their website. Noobarami, you want to take us to the final news for today? We've actually spent way too much on news, but the news has been a lot and pretty
confirmed
good, so.
In the Reddit Ask Me Anything, an item preview is in the works, so one can preview an item on their character before making a purchase.
Yeah. So, again, this is from the AMA. We're just catching up. You probably already heard about this, but it happened a couple weeks ago, I think 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago now, and they confirmed an item previewer. So essentially, if you go up to a merchant, you purchase some expensive new armor, you can actually have a look at what it... Like, if you click the armor, it'll come up, I assume, because I haven't finished it yet, and I haven't put it in the game yet, but it'll come up and it'll show you what it looks like on your character. I think it's an excellent thing. I think this is in other games. Rawson, you're the resident MMO guy. Has this been in many other games? What do you think of it?
For the item previewer? Yeah. It's a standard thing.
Right,
it's another one of those features where you just kind of go, well, yeah, that should be in every one of these.
Nice, and so your general consensus is finally! Exclamation mark or did you miss it?
More like finally. Dot, period, dot. Okay. or dot dot dot.
Yeah, there you go. But did you miss it? Did you miss the lack of it? I actually didn't.
Not really. I didn't really care enough. But then again, I mean, I've been beta, so I don't really care how my character looks.
Right. And it's so, like, yeah, I guess if you're spending like 15k or 20k on your, because like half of this is covered by just having your wiki. For example, I used to just look up armors on the wiki before making the purchasing decision, to see how they look in a warrior, for example, in Guild Wars 1. But it's good to have. Like, I guess it's cool. Most of the time, until I'm like level 80, I won't give a shit what I look like. So, Enchanted, what are your thoughts here?
I think this is cool, but where the hell is the character select button? Have any of you noticed that?
Oh, man. Yeah. No, I think everyone's noticed that.
Like, yeah, same as what Rawson said, but...
Where the hell is character select? Where's character select?
Yeah, stop working in this. Bring me a freaking character select button.
Well, what are you talking about? It's the logout button, and then you need to sign in.
Then you have to log in again.
That's so bullshit.
And what if the login server goes down?
Like in Guild Wars 1,
does in every one of these.
Oh yeah, I've had that problem before. Let's switch characters. I want to see the...
Tarkin, thoughts? I think this is actually great news. I think this is because I don't play many MMOs. I was surprised that this was a thing. When I heard about it, I was really excited. I was like, hey, cool, that's a good idea.
Cool, but feature in Guild Wars 2.
Oh my god! Tarkin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a very good feature. I think they were just leaving it for later, because in Guild Wars 1, everything was pretty cheap, so it wasn't as big a deal.
Yeah.
And they're just porting things over, so they're still working on it or something. So.
Yeah, exactly. It was announced before the last beta, and it'll probably be in before the next beta. They said it was on the table, and they're working on it at the moment, along with a couple other things. And with that, we will move on to our discussion of the week.
Wait, no, what about me?
Okay, sure, Noob, but what are your...
I think they should do it, like, in real life, where you can actually try it out, like, give it into your inventory, and like I do in real life, you should be able to walk out of the store, but if you get caught and die, your account is locked for, like, a week.
So you want simulated theft in Guild Wars 2?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I mean,
you know what else has simulated theft? Ultima Online.
Bring it all back around.
Bring it full circle back to 1997.
Woo!
You know what we should do? Only allow thieves to do it. Because they're the only ones that can steal.
Nice.
There is a thievery skill in Ultima Online.
I'm not a thief, and I walk out plenty of times with clothes on from clothing stores.
So I'm going to move on to our that was the first good silence reaction. I've been pausing after pretty much most of Noob's statements, hoping for one of those, but it happened. I'm happy. It's good. So the plan was this week to get a good deal of discussion about World versus World. Like, that's what we said last week, and that's what I said at the start of this episode.
But that's all we talked about last week.
We didn't talk about World versus World at all last week.
Well, we were talking about experiences, and that was literally World versus World for everyone. That wasn't me.
No, so, and we literally said everyone was like, hey, because all we did was World versus World, we'll talk about it next week because we should at least get some PvE impressions. But we're sitting here, and
then we did it for like 3 hours.
And we're an hour and 15 minutes already. Ish. I'm not sure what I actually come down to when I get all the
okay, guys. Down. 15 minutes. Let's talk about World versus World. I think World versus World was very fun. I enjoyed it greatly when I was playing with you guys. But then when I switched over to my main server and things switched around, then I was pitted up against a server that was way, way bigger than any of the other two servers. So then we died, and it wasn't a whole lot of fun.
My turn.
I didn't play World versus World.
This is great. I did World vs. World with the guild. It was amazing. We kicked ass. We rolled around with 5 to 8 people, and we generally dominated the map.
You're
held
just
the server.
Saying
it
what
was fantastic.
I just said.
But I didn't have the experience of being owned, so there is a difference. But the main thing here is I think we don't have enough time to actually go into a proper World v. World assessment, because I actually want to talk tactics and a couple other things. I don't just want to do impressions.
World
vs.
World tactics. What are you?
I think we'll actually do a tactic, like an actual
Guild Wars,
tips
Guild
and
Wars
tricks
2
class.
Tactics.
It's going to well, be is. A it's pretty amazing that
that's a third
me
Guild Wars
and
game.
Tarkin and at least one of the other guys I know in real life. I'm not sure what his actual in-game name was. I think it was I can't talk. But we can sit around and talk tactics for a while. So I think we'll actually blow it out into its own show. Especially since we did so much on news this week. I'm really sorry for those guys who actually were interested in hearing us talk about it. And Durin's not here, and he was there with us during the event. And Tarkin is here as well. I think we'll blow it out, but what we'll do this episode instead, since we have done so much news and we only really have about 10 to 15 minutes left in the episode, what I'll get is Tarkin and Enchanted Echoes. I'm just reading through the show notes to make sure we haven't missed anything. Tarkin and Enchanted Echoes experiences from the last beta, because they weren't with us last week's podcast. I'll get you your impressions and what you did. I'll start with Enchanted, because I already know what I'm talking about with Tarkin. So Enchanted, what did you actually experience in the beta?
World v. World specifically?
No, just in general. We'll do World versus World probably next week.
Well, the first thing I did, I tried that jumping puzzle inside the World v. World
The mini dungeon? We talked essentially about that, but just like a quick impression. What are your thoughts of it?
It's pretty cool. Surprisingly hard-ish. I don't know. I just suck at MMO platforming.
Was it hard because you were bad, or like, and it was actually difficult or something like that? Because it was broken?
Is legit. Yeah, it's like Maystack on the forums didn't have too many issues with it. Yeah. And I think it's not that bad if you approach it by yourself and you have a lot of time. Like, but you have any pressure from like guys who you're currently rolling with that you're somewhat competing against, or even worse, people from the opposing team? I think it's like much more difficult. But Enchanted, what was your experience?
Yeah, it just feels kind of hacky.
Would you agree with what we said last week, where it's like it feels like you're kind of breaking the game by jumping on things that weren't really designed to be jumped on?
Yeah, but then they actually want you to jump there, so it's weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's the path to go.
It's just weird.
It feels like you're not supposed to go there.
I know, it's odd. I'm not sure if many MMOs do jumping puzzles. Guild Wars 2 is not a platformer. Even though it has jumping puzzles in it and jumping in it, it just doesn't feel quite there, in my opinion. Would you recommend other people to do it?
Yeah, it's different. It's cool to try out. There's a reward at the end, I think. I don't know.
Did you get to the end?
No. I could see it.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
It wasn't good enough.
Did you just run out of time, or did you just get sick of it?
Yeah, I had to leave, so yeah. Ran out of time.
Okay, cool. And what else did you do?
I played a surprising amount of structured PvP, which I think is actually pretty cool.
Okay, let's sit back. Everyone, take a step back. Let's chat about structured PvP. I'm sorry.
I like it better than World versus World.
You like
really?
Played World versus World.
Yeah.
Wait, played any World versus World?
Well, I walked around and then I blue screened. That was about.
So your opinion's invalid, is what you're saying.
That's a fun
but
word.
I kind of like structured PvP.
Okay, well, was the time you played with me and the other guys the only time you played structured?
No.
Okay, how many times did you play it? Because, all right, to run you through our experience, we ran in with a couple of guildies. I won't talk about my complaints. I did that last week. But we walked in, and it was everyone pretty much except for one dude on Mumble. And the first thing I said as soon as we walked in was, okay, Nubarama, you stick with this guy, and I'll stick with this guy. And
no, you said stick with me.
Oh, no, that was the second match. All right. So the first match, exactly. This is what I'm getting to. So the first match, we get out of the gates. Nubarama runs in his own fucking direction. Just ignores everything anyone has said and just does whatever the fuck he wants for the entire round. We lose horribly.
I wasn't
not his fault. It's not entirely
last.
Your fault.
I remember looking at that scoreboard.
Yeah, it was not
you were bottom
fault.
With
wow.
zero. You were bottom with zero.
That one I bottomed
middle.
Out. I don't think I bottomed out ever again, but that one I bottomed out.
I was in the middle. I was in the middle of the pack, so fuck you.
The main thing was, like, usually I expect a PvP environment to be everyone, like, constant chatter and, like, everyone coordinating until, like, giving you constant updates of where they are.
I'm used to random arena, now. Fuck that.
And he just deadpan silence on his end.
That's
just see him running around the map.
That's how a random arena works, Cynic. You gotta.
Actually, that's not how random arena. The most success I had with random arenas is when you go in and as soon as like the 20 seconds before the match starts, someone goes, "Who's calling?" Someone answers, "I will."
Wrong.
And then someone calls.
The best way a random arena goes is if you have a monk on your team. That's how you win random arena.
You win every time.
No, that's wrong, because we, without monks, with a good caller and some good team coordination, even though we're completely randoms and don't
that must have been
before,
a nice dream.
Beat down monks. No, it happened. I've gotten like 20 consec, 15 consec from that
know.
Kind of experience.
I doubt it.
You're a liar, Shanik. You're a liar.
You're lying on this podcast.
He's not lying.
I think there's
a
distinct reason.
What?
Depends.
I don't know.
Depends.
I don't know what this
means. Remember, this
is
random arenas. This is random arenas.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about Guild Wars. Okay, we're talking about Guild Wars 1. Let's put a break on that conversation. But Enchanted Echo, aside from, I assume you didn't play with noobs, so you didn't play with someone who's completely shit.
P.S. Just have every character be a warrior monk, and you'll win.
So, what were your experiences with structured PvP in Enchanted? Were you on Yak's Bend, or were you in a different server?
I think I'm still on the Presso, which is Anvil Rock. So I was playing with some Raynet people, which was weird because they're certainly good. But yeah, I basically rolled a warrior and just went, you know, full on, you know, critical.
Wait, back up.
Oh hell yeah, critical.
You were playing on a press server.
It's where the press server was.
You're playing Anvil Rock.
So
you were playing with gaming journalists, and you said they were good at video games.
No, he's playing with ANET.
He was playing with the Arena Net.
Okay.
Which is kind of crazy.
No, I
never got the chance.
Journalists are horrible.
Hey, can you refer me to the Arena Net developer that decided to tier the traits? I would like a nice chat with him.
It's probably Isaiah Cartwright.
Cartwright.
He was the same guy that like nerfed every Guild Wars 1 skill. So.
Yeah, Izzy's a bit of a... So I think he has good ideas. I don't think he always executes on those good ideas. And in this case, he just completely... I don't like the way he did skills. I don't mind traits, but I don't like the way he did skills. Anyway, so you generally just jumped in, had a great time. Did you find... Were you coordinated? Like, do you see that much of like team chat, or did it feel more like a random arenas?
There was
a lot of team chat.
It felt like... Yeah, because we weren't doing... We were in a tournament, so we're playing against some people. But I really like the unlock system, even though it's random. Like you basically get points, and then you get enough that you can buy a chest, and you can get you know,
No, you are saying things I'm not familiar with. Because we started a tournament, we got dominated in the first round, then we tried some other stuff. So can you run me through the Guild Wars 2 structured PvP tournament experience from scratch?
It's not like. First game, you're basically playing between the two maps and you keep playing until you get to the final. And if you get to the final, you get a huge bonus with rank and glory. Glory is basically like
a currency. You're starting off with a pre...
And,
right.
Yeah, so you...
But
you
so, start... to slow it down, so you started off with a group of players and were you teamed up out of the box? So you had a team with you?
If you choose to do that.
Did that include Arena Devs or was that not...
Yeah, that was Arena Devs.
Holy crap. Okay, anyway, aside from your weirdly awesome experience in structured PvP with Arena Devs and all that shit, so you jump in the structured PvP, and I think it's multiple rounds of elimination, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember how many rounds it was? Because it's eight-person ladder or something like that, eight-team ladder. So you start with you versus one team, and it's moving. At the time, only two maps were unlocked, so you'd be, as you said, moving between the two maps. But how many rounds do you think? Like about three or four before you got to the finals?
Yeah, so if you lose, you're out. Like, there's no... So I think.
Are you just completely out, or do you go to, like, a loser's bracket?
Well, yeah, I didn't lose, so I don't actually know.
Well, I was with the Arena Net deck, so I don't know. Bastard. This episode should be Enchanted Echoes the Bastard. Like, that should be what I just call this episode. I hate you.
Got to the finals,
and
won a load of points, and then you go to the chest, and this is only tier one stuff, and I think it's really cool that even the lowest tier can look...
Wait, what do you mean by tier one? Like, what is that about?
So there's like a big tower, and it's got a chest on each side, and you talk to the dude, and you can buy a chest, you double-click it, and you get random...
Wait, so this is after you finish the tournament?
Yep. This is in the lobby.
You get teleported to a tower?
It's part of that lobby, you know, where the training dummies are and the dudes there.
Yeah,
it's like in the mists. Yeah.
I didn't see a tower, but I might have just missed it. There's a tower there. Okay.
Yeah.
And you teleport to within this tower, and there's like an NPC there that you talk to.
Yep.
And what's the tower inside like? Is because I kind of want a mental picture.
You would have seen it. It's just like a crappy. It's like all pulled away, and you know, it's like debris and crap. Anyway.
And so there's an NPC standing there, you talk to him, and he gives you...
Yeah, you can buy either bronze, silver, or gold chests. And, you know, gold, you got a higher cost more, and you got a better chance of getting a better piece of gear. So I bought a few of those, and the stuff I got actually looked cool, even though it's, like, the intro stuff, which isn't the case, you know, with most games. Like, usually the intro stuff was
shit. What kind of items were they? Because you get most PvP items from the PvP vendor, weren't they?
These are basically skins. So you have your armor skins and your weapons. Nothing statistical. It's all cosmetic.
All right, so when you drop into PvP in Guild Wars 2, you're kind of given a set of armor, and it looks a certain way. So you're saying that if you win a tournament, you actually have a chance to unlock new ways to look in structured PvP?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's actually... I was wondering how you did that, because I was like, okay, this is Glad's armor, which looks okay, I guess, question mark. I thought it was a case of...
Some of them look like you're wearing a dress, and it looks horrible, even if you're a dude.
Yeah. Wait, so because I can't really ask you to describe them, because that would be difficult on radio, but would you say the new armors that you got through unlocking it via tournament play were awesome, or like they're significantly cooler looking than the Glad's?
Also, you can unlock that through the normal pickup group. Like, you don't have to do a tournament to do this.
It's just a glory points, right, gotcha. Yeah. I think I only have 600 or so, something like that.
Yeah, so when you get 1,000, you can buy your first chest.
But, cool. Yeah. And do you remember how much glory you got from winning a tournament?
2,000, so you could buy two chests at that.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I've done about 3 to 4 hours of structured PvP in total, and I've only got 600 points. So if I win a tournament, which is what'd you say, about an hour of play, maybe an hour and a half?
Yeah, not long.
Yeah, and then you get 2,000 points of glory. So that's pretty cool. Like, I didn't even think of that. I didn't know that it actually gave you a huge reward, even though it should. It makes sense that it does. And it's cool that it doesn't give you, like, just straight up, hey, this is your drops from winning this tournament. It allows you to go to a vendor or maybe save up that glory points and actually spend it. That's a cool system, I think. But these items can't be brought back to PvE. They're just PvP items, right?
No, and these can be, you can dump these in a locker, so you can kind of trade them between different characters if you want, because you could get something that's not for your class or whatever.
Right, so when they first talked about structures, and it wasn't really clear to me, you do jump in with your PvE character. So as soon as you make a PvE character, or as soon as you get past the first quest, so you'll probably be around level 2 or 3, you get the option to go to the Mists and therefore go to the World versus World or Structured PvP. You go into it with your PvE character, but you're changed in appearance entirely. And what I thought was the case was when you unlock max level gear or level 80 gear in PvE, then you can bring it into PvP, because obviously that'll be equivalency. But it sounds like you always look different in the Mists. So you always have like a PvP set of gear with appearance and stuff. Can you confirm or deny this, or do you have any idea one way or the other?
I think there's two different sets, so no matter what you
have. So in World vs. World and PvE, you'll look right. So yeah, exactly. So in World vs. World and PvE, you'd have your PvE things that you've earned through unlocking in World vs. World or dungeons or event chains in PvE. But in PvP, structured PvP, you always have a PvP set which you unlock by doing structured PvP.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting system. I'll give you that. What else did you do? Just quickly, because we're already at an hour and a half.
I played a bit of PvE in that new zone near Lion's Arch.
Cool.
Because I was playing by myself, I felt like the hearts like kind of took too long to do, and got a kind of bit
bored. And that's pretty much why I haven't really... Because Noob Marama was there as well, and Shinboy from last week was there, and you're here, you got into Lion's Arch as well. And Tarkin, I think you went to Lion's Arch as well, right?
I got to there back in the first beta.
Yeah, so and the thing is, like, the reason I haven't really asked for too much in the way of descriptions is it sounds from pretty much all sources like it's kind of unfinished. It doesn't, like, it sounds like the heart quests aren't particularly engaging, and the dynamic events there are pretty much few and far between. What are you guys' thoughts? I'm going to let everyone chime in this one. Noob Rama, what are your thoughts of the Lion's Arch area?
Lion's Arch as in, like, the explorable area.
Yeah, the explorable area. Yeah.
So that was, what's the name of it? Something Plains?
Yeah, Something Plains.
Caridian? I can't remember.
Yeah, something like that. Grandin or whatever. So, it again, it's a level, 25 to 35 zone, I believe?
Yep.
Right. And compared to the other zone, I felt like there were substantially less dynamic events. And a lot of the dynamic events felt very repetitive. Like, a lot of them were, you know, the only reason that it felt like there were that many were just because it was constantly going on over and over again. And then
this is really concerning to me, to be honest. The fact that these starting areas are so nice and, like, well-honed to a lot of extent and have really, like, large diversity. What are these examples of... I'll switch it over to Tarkin.
Right.
Tarkin, okay. What are some examples of the dynamic events you saw in the... I think it's Desia Plains. Or is that not it? The plains in front of Lion's Arch.
No. Oh, that's Gendarin Fields.
Gendarin Fields.
or something. Yeah.
I didn't actually check out much of that because I went through the other areas, the Norn and the Char, and finished them up. But
also that's where the Vigil headquarters is, in case people want to know. You know, there's the three big things. You know how there's the three major things you can join? The Diamond
Priory.
Nope, I haven't read about it. Don't want to know about it till the game comes out.
You've not read the books?
I have read the second, like the Edge of Destiny, but I haven't read the others.
Okay.
Oh, you nerds.
You fucking casual. I thought you liked fantasy. You don't really like
fantasy. I like good fantasy. Those books are not good fantasy. Oh, man. If Tarkin hasn't explained it, I'll let you do it, Noob. What are some examples of Diamond Quest?
Let's see. So basically, on the very western side of the map, so you're coming in from the human zone. That's where the centaurs are and multiple human settlements.
Right.
And as you move eastwards, it becomes closer to the Norn area. So the furthest east area is an ice cave full of Ettins and those mole people. I forgot what they're called.
Dredge.
Yeah, the Dredge. And there was one really fun one where the Dredge, you're basically defending an area because a giant Dredge APC with this giant drill comes, you know, drilling out from under, and then you're defeating waves.
Which is like a mechanical thing.
Right, right. That's like a really cool one. And there's this sudden, huge boss dredge you have to fight at the end. That was
fun. That's awesome. Wait, so this sounds pretty good then. Well, what's wrong with the area?
Eastwards, it's repetition of centaur defending quests. So you're defending town from centaurs, you're walking around killing centaurs, etc.
I thought the centaur issue was mainly a human thing.
The eastern area is a humans. It's mostly human settlements.
You mean western area? Because the one humans in the west too.
The west, yeah. Sorry, that's right.
Oh, gotcha.
West.
Okay. All right, cool. So okay. Yeah, so the dredge part and the awesome stuff happens near the Norn area,
and then near the center there's pirates. It's lots of pirate related quests.
Wait, but isn't Lion's Arch?
How is that a bad thing?
That sounds awesome.
It's not particular. Like, I didn't find them interesting. It was kill X amount of pirates. Yeah.
The actual events themselves weren't interesting. Yeah.
Defend town from pirates. Well, the cool thing about pirates is pirates are everything. Like, they're Asura. It's not just humans.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. There were giant Norn pirates and Char pirates. The Char pirates were a bit silly.
Considering that a pirate uniform is something you can get on the gem store, would you say a pirate uniform is worth it? Does it look badass?
Because the pirate uniform is irrelevant to my, you know, destiny of becoming the best cook in Tyria, I don't really know.
But you could be a pirate chef.
What do the pirates look like? Yeah, just a chef with a pirate's hat.
I'd rather specialize, you know.
Or a pirate with a chef's hat.
Oh, that's true. I just didn't wear the chef's hat. I just wore aviators. I don't know why they had aviators. It's so cool.
You're not a pilot.
I fly the giant cake. And well, Enchanted, up to the north. And the north is, of course, the crypt.
What were your experiences with that area? Did you have something similar to Noob where you found a lot of what was like uninspired? Or
yeah, I didn't get to stick enough around to see the event, like any decent event chains like he described.
Oh, the dredge stuff, right.
Yeah, so I kind of ran around for a bit then went to the island and killed some pirates.
Yeah, I wish I saw more of the dredge stuff. That seemed interesting, but I ran out of time.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad that it's only in one half, or one third of the area if you're splitting it vertically.
Right.
It looks nice.
So the center stuff is just boring.
Well, that's it. I did not fully explore, because there was like a cave area full of pirates. I did not go in there, but...
were you by yourself?
No, I was playing with... I forgot who I was
Akrid?
Playing with.
It was Akrid.
I was Akrid, yes.
Yeah. And if you don't know Akrid, he's a mod on the Mumble server. And he's a great guy. Great, like the nicest guy. I guess it's... Okay, would you say of the areas, would you say it's better than most of the starting areas, or do you think it's more boring? Or what do you feel about?
They're different. I'll just say that. They're each different, and they're all special, and I love them all. Okay? There.
Echo, do you have any more concrete opinions?
I feel like I'd have to go, like, explore this one properly, because, like,
the visual thing looks badass.
Yeah. Right. There's probably some cool skill point things around as well, because that's... some cool caves or just interesting underwater areas, I don't know, but yeah, I need to explore it more and see if it's actually
cool. And did all three of you, sorry to leave it, Rosin, do you have anything to input?
As far as Lion's Arch goes, no, I've just been using it as a in-between point.
Yeah, same.
For the,
I don't
want to
see it. I don't know anything about it. I'm saving it for release for myself, I guess.
Yeah. There's this huge castle northeast.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think of Lion's Arch? Tarkin and Noob and Echo.
It was underwhelming. Like the bid I saw. Like I didn't see all of it. I only went to the crafting area because you know I was just going around for herbs and I wanted to deposit the herbs somewhere. That's where I deposit the herbs.
In your quest to be the master cook, the greatest cook in Tyria, right?
The greatest cook in Tyria.
Yeah. Oh, did you see the because on Guild Wars 2 wiki they actually have a bunch of like a breakdown of what you can do with the cooking materials, and cooks can actually are pretty much one of the only big modifiers for magic find. It's kind of crazy. So it's pretty awesome. So
I'd rather not
need
be
some of your services.
I'd rather be an original cook. I'll definitely check that out.
yeah. No, magic find. I think you guys have like 10-minute buffs to magic find that you can craft and cook in inverted commas and stuff like that. It's pretty awesome. But so your thoughts on Lion's Arch are pretty minimal. And Echo, did you get a good chance to have a look at Lion's Arch?
Yeah, I had a good look at it last beta as well. I think the underwater part where it shows the old Lion's Arch is pretty cool. If you play
that sounds so cool. sounds amazing.
There's a cool tower where you jump off and into the water. They've put some effort into it. It feels kind of messy because I guess it's supposed to.
How big is it? Like, is it bigger than Divinity's Reach, or is it like what's the relative size?
It's definitely
smaller than Divinity's Reach.
Yeah, it's probably about a size of like one of the quarters of Divinity's Reach or something.
It's bigger than a quarter.
Yeah. It's about two-ish quarters. That's still much smaller than Divinity's Reach.
Yeah. Right, but then again, this is not a homestarting area.
Divinity's Reach is also goddamn huge.
Yeah. It's quite big, but it's got a lot of hidden areas.
Underwater section.
Yes.
Does the underwater section go under the city as well, or is it mainly just like its own kind of area?
There's like an underwater tunnel you can explore, which is only really a shortcut. I thought there'd be something cool behind there, but there's like a weird pirate cave and. It feels messy, but it's supposed to feel like that, I guess, because it's kind of like a refugee. Well, not refugee.
Right, and by messy, you mean more like eclectic. There's a lot of difference in the art style between it and Divinity's Reach. For example, Divinity's Reach is like all like medieval and all like very, not samey, but there's a consistency to the design of all the architecture there. But if you go to Divinity's Reach, it's like shit's made out of broken ships and like...
You mean
like Lion's
Arch,
like,
you just said Divinity's Reach.
Oh yeah, sorry. If you go to the Lion's Arch, it's made out of broken ships. Like literally the bridges made of broken ships. There's like... Their shop fronts, from what I've heard, because I haven't seen it myself, are like nailed together and stuff. Like, is that the kind of feeling you got from the place, Enchanted?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Which is cool. But...
Did you like it?
I get some performance issues there as well, which is odd.
Yeah,
so,
it's quite laggy.
Yeah.
It was very blue. As in, I got a lot of blue. I moved to my laptop and I stopped getting blue screens, so I think it's just my computer.
Blue by blue screens. These are issues that I swear. Very few people have, dude. Right? I feel sad.
I want
because...
ArenaNet to cater their game specifically for me, and they're not doing that.
Well, process of tweaking it.
Definitely. And I feel that the performance has gotten better beta to beta.
Yeah, it definitely has. It definitely has gotten better.
And I think I'd want to touch on what Tarkin did, and one last question to end out the show. Because they discussed on Guildcast, and I want to do the same thing here. But Tarkin, what did you do during the betas? You were with me for most of the time.
Most of the time, but when I was...
And in War vs. the World?
Yes.
Discuss how much fun we had in Ascalon Catacombs.
We already got like 20 minutes of that last week.
That was horrendous.
Failing to get into
it was like
shitty
30
party,
minutes of,
like, server
why
issues.
Is partying not working?
Yeah, they just couldn't get in.
We walked in; it didn't work.
Sorry,
Come
they couldn't
on.
Get in as a team.
I wanted to play.
Split up, right? Yeah, But I think the area I really want to talk to you about was, because we both did a lot of World versus World, which we'll talk about eventually. I'm sorry, guys, but not this episode. But we also did a bunch of Kessex Hills, and I think you actually saw a lot more of the human starting area than I did, because you said something about zombies, and I was intrigued. I said, hey, save it for the show. Tell me what you mean. What do you see in the human starting area that involved these things called zombies?
Well, okay, they're not called zombies. They're called the Risen. They're from the...
Which is the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest.
I mean, I'm seeing...
Zombies are undead. Those Risen have been turned by... what's his
name? No, some of them were dead.
Oh, okay.
And returned back to life.
I thought others were, like, completely corrupted or something.
I think that's the...
Wait, so I thought the others were the dudes on Lost.
Anyway,
What are the Risen? What do they look like? Who are they? What are they?
They look like drowned people and like all that entails. Okay.
It's not just people. It's like Asura,
Asura, humans, Norn. I did not see any Char.
Awesome.
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh,
see
they're like the drowned dead from The Witcher.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sure.
And like all the like plants and stuff that gather on people.
Right, so they're like algae growing off them, and like they're semi-desiccated and that kind of stuff. Yep. That's kind of cool.
And they're attacking a Silvari encampment.
Oh, you got to see the Silvari encampment. Yes. I keep missing out on it. What level was this area?
It's southwest Kessex Hills. It's level 20...
23.
Oh, it's 25.
It's 22, but the Risen are level 23.
It's like 22-ish, yeah.
Right.
All right.
And so...
And they attack like zombies. They...
Oh, cool.
Masses upon masses.
Oh, God. I did that event twice, and each time I only did it with one other person. It took a long time.
I could not handle it by myself. Wait, isn't like... Because, like...
I just never ran into other people. It's
there's just so many Risen, is there?
Because, a lot of people just didn't get to that area of Kessex Hills, which is why it could be cool to talk about here. So, wait, what was the Demiurge event? Like, give me an idea of how this thing happened.
All right, so, Tarkin, you want to do this? Yeah.
Okay, first off, the event is the renowned... task is cure the people of disease there, because for some reason they've lived there so long that the area is now diseased.
Whoa. Wait, so is this in like the far west? Is that like the
southwest?
Is there water? Is it waterfront?
Yeah,
or?
It is. It is completely surrounded
bottom
in
west.
Water. And like...
Okay, cool.
They're on a small island.
So the open sea?
No. It's more
awesome.
Like a lake or something. Or a river.
Okay, cool.
And all...
Right, you can see that river system on Crider if you look at the maps. I know.
And all the Silvari there are diseased, and you're meant to cure them. In the middle of that, a dynamic event occurs. The Risen are attacking.
okay.
Defend them off.
Then shit goes real.
It's just like, what? I'm in the middle of curing these people.
Okay. Right. And so it's like, so do they come out of the water? Or
yes,
like,
they come out of the water and attack you.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. Like Pirates of the Caribbean style.
Pretty much, yeah.
Dead bodies. That's pretty awesome. Wait, Noob, do you have anything to elaborate?
So basically there's that, and then there's a second one where it's basically you have to go into the Risen area, and there's basically these Risen warlocks or something like that you have to kill, and that's the second part of that quest. I don't know if there's a third part because I didn't really get into that area.
Because it's still only with one dude.
Pardon? Oh, yeah. That guy left by the time I got there, and I just died. I'm like, oh, I did get the 100% in that area, and that's what I really cared about. The perfect 100% in Kessex Hill.
Plus, you get items.
I'm shaking my head.
Yeah, items and monies.
Is that the place
silver,
that...
Enchanted?
60 silver.
Is Kessex Hill the one that has like the inflated reward, or is that somewhere else? There's somewhere where you get like a load of money for finishing, and it's not...
Oh, it's actually scaled for your level. So when you finish all the, which is kind of cool. Like, so what happens is when you go into a map, any new area or any area in general, when you're loading in, it actually shows you, and then on the top left-hand corner of the map, if you actually open the map, how many, I think it was renown quests, so no, renown events.
Waypoints.
Points of interest and skill points.
And waypoints.
Yeah. And waypoints. And if you unlock... If you see all of them, so if you do all the renown quests, if you find all the waypoints, if you do all the skill points, and you see all the points of interest, which is, I think, the hardest part because you kind of have to go to the middle of nowhere for some of them, you get a reward. And it comes up, and above your mini-map is a little chest that like kind of like a UI element. It's not like chest on the ground anymore like it was in the last beta. It's on the mini-map. Like a little chest comes up in the bottom right-hand corner of your screen. And you click it, and you get rewards. which is kind of, I guess it's, you should, guess
you
it's
should,
cool.
If it does scale, you should probably do it. Like, you should save those up.
Yeah, because you get really huge reward. Because, like, a Tarkin for getting the char starting area with his human, I think you got, what, like 50 silver or something like that? It was huge.
Yeah, it was a huge amount.
Yeah, I got 60 silver for Kessix Hills.
That's crazy. And you guys were both around the same level, so 20 something. No, but I assume if you did it at a lower something. Level, they wouldn't.
Yeah, I was 30 something when I finished Kessix.
Well, there you go. So even if I do it at a low level, I assume you won't get a bigger experience boost. And which is kind of cool because it's encouraging you to go back to these low level areas if you're really high level, because if you max them out at a high level, you get a shitload of reward for it. And also it doesn't pressure you because there's no, if the reward didn't go up with time, there's something to say that, hey, as soon as you get to an area, you should kind of max it out because you want that reward now instead of when it means less later. So it's like a double hit there of awesomeness because you go into an area, you can do whatever you want there, there's no pressure to complete it, but you can come
like
back there to get a huge
you're
reward.
Like, I better leave this single renown quest for, like, just not do it so I don't
max if you want to just completely metagame it.
It'd be just like doing, like, Legendary Defender of Ascalon, where you do all of the quests, but you don't take the reward so you can level up that final 19 to 20 in the original Guild Wars.
That's bullshit. It's a way people will play the game.
That's how I would do it, probably.
I
want to maximize my rewards.
I do it the way I said, we should just like have fun and then come back later. But I guess that's a way to do
MMOs
it.
MMOs are not fun. It's living.
Nice. So, Rawson, did you end up seeing any of the human starting area at all? Or does it mainly char?
It was mostly char. I only went over to human starting area to play with a friend. And even then, that was stuff I'd already seen before.
Cool. And so just to round out this Risen event, how did it end? Did you see the end of it, Tarkin?
What
do you mean end?
If you beat them back for that...
Did you fend off... Yeah.
They just go back to the water.
And then that's how the next...
And the next step is clear them out.
Oh, and that's the one where Noob was talking about that he didn't end up doing.
Yep.
So that's an underwater cave system. Did you see the front of it, or did you... Did you start it in any way, shape, or form?
I didn't get to that point.
There's no, you know, you just keep on walking. Basically, like, the way they do it in Guild Wars is these NPCs just tip you off. I heard there's something over there, and then you just listen to what the NPC said, and then you go over there. Oh, there's a dynamic event.
Okay.
That's how I did it. Yeah, those NPCs were chattering, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Right, but this, like, follow-on event after the Risen event happened.
Yeah, that's only available after you finish the Risen.
Did you ever finish it, or did you not see the end?
Oh, I finished the defense, defending the village, but...
Right.
I failed to defend the village, I had to retake it.
Okay, right. Okay, so you did it from the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And when you had to retake it, did they have the whole town? Like, were they throughout the whole town, or, like, what was it?
They captured the whole town, all the people were on the ground dead, and... once you killed all of them, they automatically revive, so it didn't really matter.
Hey, I revived them before taking the town.
Nice. Yeah, so Kael, so Tarkin did the real way, the man's way. But you didn't push them back, Tarkin. So you didn't do the full job.
I am not, a solo hero here, man.
You're a guardian, you can do that kind of stuff,
yeah,
right?
I'm a guardian.
You're both guardians, you guys suck.
I'm not very good at playing, so...
So lazy.
Yeah. My fingers were broken, okay? So fuck it.
Yeah.
They were crushed in a nuclear accident.
There's another piece, and I'll just leave it as a hint for anyone who wants, instead of spoiling it for people. I guess we didn't spoil too much because none of these assholes finished the event chain. So it's good, so you can experience the Silvari encampment and the Risen stuff in the southwestern corner of the Kessix Hills area for yourself. The another part of that would be that I need to talk about. Am I here or did I drop? Did I drop the call?
You're here.
You're still here.
Whoa, the other phone line rang and I didn't drop. Anyway,
a miracle.
You can head over to the Kessix Hill area for yourself. But the part I'll leave there for anyone to experience for themselves, aside from that, would be the centaur stuff. So in most of the human starting area, you're versing the centaurs, right? And it's pretty boring most of the time. It's like hold against a camp of them or that kind of stuff. There's just like waves of centaurs come in, or you're taking the centaur camps, which is just kind of like holding a point long enough for a meter to fill, and then you hold the next point, so on and so forth. Kind of boring. That's in the first half of this human study. But when you get down to Kessix Hills and you're talking to centaurs, and so you're versing the centaurs, it actually steps up a significant notch. and I'll leave it for you to discover, but there's stuff like assaulting huge base camps of them and taking out siege equipment for the centaurs and stuff like that. So it actually steps up the conflict significantly once you get to Kessex Hills.
Not about that. You can finish. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was about to finish. I was going to say, so the Risen and the centaur escalated combat scenarios and the... what was it? The
crate.
Event I talked about last week with the... Oh, yeah, the crate as well. There's some pretty crazy crate stuff that happens there. And there's the bit with the Tengu last week that I talked about. So much stuff to check out in the human starting area. You should do it for yourself. We won't go too much into it. I won't bring it up at it because I think it's getting a bit late for us to do more impressions cast. Again, next week we'll probably end up doing a world versus world. More of like a discussion rather than impressions. And we'll talk about tactics and that kind of stuff because I do want to have a talk about world versus world. God damn it.
Right.
What were you going to say, Noob, just to round it
quickly
up?
So, in this stress test, go in Gundaren fields. There's this mansion of this Asura, like this rich Asura. There's a renowned quest where you have to clean up his house. Basically, behind his house, there will be like a small alleyway between another building. And in there are 4 spider eggs. Destroy all of those spider eggs.
And then see what happens?
Yep. It's awesome. Try to do it when there's the dynamic event of the house being attacked by those pirates. It'll make things a lot funner.
Cool. That sounds like a great pro tip. And we'll probably bring these up, these recommendations that go up again when the next beat is over.
If you die, it's not my fault. Fuck you.
We'll do another recommendations cast because it was really successful from last time. So listen to us then. But before we end the show, because
we're successful.
It was really successful. Yeah, we did like double the normal listener count on that one. Which I don't know. I guess you can put that up to maybe double of 2 is still 4 people, right? But before we end out the show, I want to discuss this because they discussed it on Guildcast, and I think it's pretty cool to bring it to this forum. Beta events do you think you can you can accept or you'll still be interested in before you're just like, fuck it, I just want you guys to release it, and you'll start being a detriment to their efforts?
Like, seeing it now. I don't want to.
So you're saying you don't.
Wait, reasonably, I will. Let's say 2 more beta weekends, and then that's just it.
Then you
I
just
want
lose
them
interest,
to release
right?
the sewer stuff either next or the next, and then just finish it off. Just
right.
really.
And
next,
beyond right? that, I actually agree. Like 1 or 2 more, and then beyond that, they're actually really starting right. to be counterproductive in that they're losing all their hype. Like I can still get hyped for a beta if it's coming up next month. I won't be. Waking up in the middle of the night for this stress test because obviously it's the ending event again, which we'll discuss next week.
Screw you. It's 4 hours of playtime.
Yeah, I could...
4 hours!
But I don't see myself being like too into it if they just keep doing
right.
beta weekend
There's
events 1 month apart, 2 days.
Our patience they can test before,
yeah.
you know, a bomb blows off in the arena and it offices.
Exactly. And to be clear, I prefer them, like for example, if they're released in November... I'd actually prefer if they go dark on the game for a long time and they announce us that they're doing so, than to keep having these beta events. Because it's this weird influx of getting excited for a beta, only 2 days of play, these characters may be deleted, that kind of stuff is just wearing. Rawson, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to go ahead and agree with Noob in that, like, you know, 1 or 2 more I could handle, but even now I'm starting to kind of go like, yeah, I get it. I like the game. Just hurry the fuck up, get it out of the door, so that way I can play it without knowing that, you know, my character's going to be wiped.
That's the big thing. Like, one of the things that Gary Gannon brought up on, again, the Guildcast was, which you should listen to because it's awesome. I shouldn't be plugging another podcast on here.
Yeah. What the hell's wrong with you? We need to be the best podcast in all
yeah,
of the
He said that, what would you guys' reaction be if it's still a beta, but instead of doing a weekend, they actually do like a 2-week stretch or a 3-week stretch?
Oh, then I might as well. I'm fine with that. I'm just playing the game at that point.
But your character can still be wiped at the end.
I don't care. I don't want to be waiting a month in between these betas only to play for 2 days.
And then, yeah, and then to be let off the hook again. And,
yeah.
Enchanted, what are your thoughts?
I think that they obviously still have a bit of work to do, so. I don't want it to come out and have like, get to the end of the, you know, the higher level areas and have a big like lagging like shit because it's unoptimized. I mean, at the moment, it's not even
right.
using your graphics card; like it's running purely off CPU.
Yeah,
for the most
it's
part.
Doing a bit better than it was before, but it's still not there yet in terms of optimization for graphics. I agree.
But they are. But yeah, like so a, there is a there's a closed beta that's like constantly running all the time now.
Where, right. But they're like you're paid. Playing?
No, no, I've tried, but I'm not getting into that. Yeah. But that's where people got the previews for like Asura and stuff like that. But
yeah,
yeah, two or three since I'd be happy with. But I mean, it's going to come out at the end. You know, it's going to come out at the very latest December, and we're already more than halfway through the year. So
yeah. Too much longer to again, wait, that's five more beta events, guys. Yeah,
I think they probably want to avoid the like November rush of everything else if they want to get the name out there to you know more mainstream people.
Exactly. Right. Well, but so
yeah,
generally,
yeah, you know, all those great games coming out this year that we saw at E3, like
Assassin's Creed 3, Last of Us. There's a couple of really good. There's a bunch of really
Last of Us games. Is not coming out this year.
It's next year.
Is it next year?
No, yeah, it's next year. It's confirmed 2013.
Oh, okay, right.
So
then pretty much Assassin's. And oh boy. WoW. The expansion.
Oh boy.
I'm keen.
Oh, Dishonored right. looks good. Dishonored looks really good.
That's October, then.
Anyway.
Getting back to Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, Tarkin.
You guys are thinking beta is more along the lines of like pre-release. Everything's quite fun.
I'll let you finish, but I disagree. Go on.
Because they are actually using the beta event to get rid of bugs so that more easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you're all thinking, you're all playing the beta as if it was basically a pre-release. Like, it's mostly final.
So what's your... So do you think that they should just keep doing beta events until they think it's finished and just put the game out whenever they feel like it? You don't really think there's any pressure here?
I do think that they really shouldn't do more, too much more, but...
Well, how many do you have left in you?
I'm thinking along the region of 2 to 3 more. After that, I'm finished trying to look for bugs for them.
Yeah, so we actually... I think you're wrong in your assumption that we don't realize that it's for... It's a beta test, so we
I'm
are
not saying that you don't realize
that.
I'm thinking that you're playing bugs. Like it's a full game.
True, and... On that note, like I've already stated that next beta event, I'm going to be putting aside PvE and PvP and just doing more crafting, and then just do whatever I feel like instead of just nailing WW and PvP.
To be perfectly honest with you, most people do play MMO betas just like that.
Just play as if it's normal.
Yeah, just play if it's normal because for the most part, and I mean this is a lot of them that have come out. It's basically just a demo.
Right, exactly. And that's what a lot of people see it like. And you know, even though we realize that it's a beta and we are supporting all this stuff, it's still a form of hype cycle, you know? It's still generating hype. As I said, our last beta broadcast was really successful because a lot of people were really pumped, really interested in the event. But that can only happen a certain number of times before... If they keep doing these betas and we get excited about it, because obviously we're going to play the beta. Well, I'm going to play the beta no matter what, even if there's a 5 or 10 more, even though I won't be happy about it.
Of course, I'll play the video. I'll be pissed, but I'll be playing.
Yeah,
I'll be pissed, but
I'll play. And I'll still get excited about it, and that hype cycle's still there. Like, they can't keep doing it, though, because it's the same, essentially,
like, not
thing every time.
Like a balls-out crazy fan. They have, like, patience that's being tested here.
Exactly. And this whole thing every month where like a random person on the internet will say, hey, all these guys are getting excited about Guild Wars 2, okay. 2 days later, it dies out. And they're like, huh. And a month later, a bunch of people get excited about Guild Wars 2 for 2 days again. It's not giving you a very good impression. And it's not... As Noob said, it's just testing everyone's patience in the end, in my opinion. Tarkin, what do you have any real response? Like... You as well as said that you'd probably only really be appreciative of maybe 2 or 3 maximum more beta events. What do you feel this is doing in terms of the hype for Guild Wars 2? Do you think it's being detrimental?
Well, I've been trying to stay away from like forums to keep my hype just limited to just those beta events and not continue along.
Ah.
Right. Personally, I'm fine with how they're handling things right now. But
right, okay.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see. Enchanted, do you have anything further to say? Beyond what your statements before?
Yeah,
do you feel it's being detrimental?
It's definitely, you know, helping them development wise, but you know, in terms of PR and marketing, it's not the best way to do things. I don't know. Maybe they might up the frequency of how often they do them, or they might length them as we get closer to release. I mean, they're already having a 3-day start weekend or whatever that is for people who pre-ordered. So
they have start weekend stuff.
There might be something similar to Old Republic where they opened up for a little bit longer, like before the.
Yeah, and that can counteract some of the things. Like, it wouldn't just be a 2-day experience which everyone gets excited for. It'd be like a simmering event where a lot of people like just consistently just talk buzzing about Guild Wars 2, not too loudly for a bit, and then dying down again. It's probably a better way to go than just these monthly 2-day events. I somewhat agree.
I just hope launch is smooth and doesn't crash. Like, Old Republic was actually surprisingly decent-ish, but.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's
too bad
that.
The game wasn't decent.
With that, with that cracker from Rawson, we'll end the show. going to the table for plugs. I'm just me first. I'm Selfish Cynic. This is The Lincoln Cast. You can check us out on Twitter at The Lincoln Cast and message us anything you may, any ruminations or thoughts at thelincolncast@gmail.com. We're also, you can post in the forum threads I make in both Guild Wars 2 Guru and the Giant Bomb forums, of course. Next up on the list, Rawson, do you have anything to plug?
Not this week.
Not yet?
Not yet. Still building.
Nibarama.
I'd like to plug my restaurant, my guild restaurant, named La Cuisine again. I'm accepting.
No one's going to buy your food.
One gold
no one.
For possible reservation.
No,
assuming
no
the
one's
restaurant
going.
Does exist.
No one is going to ask you for food.
I might I need some magic mine. But Tarkin, how many plugs?
Nah. Although, ooh, Quagget likes you.
This week is really poor, huh?
Well, we all have Durin's Twitch TV to plug, so we
And Oshinboy's website and stuff like that. But hey, whatever. See, the rest of us are just freaking losers, apparently. Enchanted
like
Echo, I know you have
Facebook
a website.
Profile, add me as a friend. I want to be friends with everyone.
Enchanted Echo, do you have anything to plug?
The website I write for, digitalgordium.com. It's kind of under reconstruction at the moment, so.
Spell that out for us, by the way.
Digital.
Yep, as normal. Yep.
Yep.
And Gaudium.
Gaudium is Latin, so it's GAUDIUM.com.
Cool. And so it's under construction at the moment, is it?
Well, it's there, but yeah, it's kind of just there to serve as to get PR stuff happening. Requests
cool.
to betas and stuff like that, but it's, yeah, some changes with
Yeah, and if anyone doesn't recognize him, he's the guy who got on the forums a while ago and posted an interview with the Guild Wars 2 devs, right? Who was it with again?
Eric Flynn at Gamescom.
And is that on YouTube now, or is that on your website?
Yep,
how can
YouTube.
People catch that?
Great. It's YouTube and site, so search for it.
Cool. It. And with that, we'll round out the show. Thanks for listening, and catch us next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah.